Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. The cool pattern continuing with the chance of some showers and maybe even some thunder showers this afternoon. 57 for our high temp. Right now it is cloudy. We have 40 degrees here at our WDAY studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds light out of the north. All seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission will participate in the debate hosted by WDAY Radio tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Holstrom begin our coverage at 5:30. The debate, moderated by Tom Tucker, airs from 6 to 8. Jay and Steve will take your calls and emails from 8 to 9. Seven candidates are vying for two seats up for grabs in the June primary. Candidates are incumbents Arlette Preston and John Strand, challengers Delson Santol, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Pullen. They're expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, and housing. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson will soon be recognized as one of the top 10 police officers in the United States. He'll be receiving a top award from the National Association of Police Organizations. Robinson's credited with stopping a would-be mass shooting in Fargo last July when Mohammed Barakat opened fire on several police officers, killing Officer Jake Waleen and wounding two others along with a civilian. The awards ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C., May 12th. A Grand Forks teen accused in a deadly stabbing has pleaded not guilty to murder. Police say 18-year-old Kashmir Haskins stabbed 24-year-old Afrini Economy to death in March during a fight in an apartment complex parking lot. Investigators say the fight was caught on video. It shows Haskins holding a knife. He's charged with felony murder and faces a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. A Grand Forks man accused of multiple crimes stemming from a car chase that happened earlier this year has pleaded not guilty. Justin Peterson is accused of leading police on a chase in March after an officer smelled marijuana in his vehicle during a traffic stop. Peterson crashed into a telephone pole in a laundromat and was arrested after he fled on foot and fell into the Red River. Police say they found about 180 grams of meth, nearly 37 grams of marijuana in Peterson's backpack. He's facing several fleeing and drug-related charges. A man and woman from Florida indicted on drug and weapons charges in Bismarck will serve time in federal prison. Josu Sanchez Crespo has been sentenced to more than 11 years, while Amanda Fargoso Cook was sentenced to nearly 5 years. In 2022, a state trooper found drugs and guns in their vehicles, which were pulled over on the side of a road after one of them overheated. Authorities say the search turned up fentanyl, prescription opioids, a shotgun, handgun, and ammo. A pilot's recovering after a small plane crash in northwestern Minnesota. Investigators say the single-engine plane crashed early yesterday in Clearbrook in Clearwater County. Pilot experienced mechanical failure before the crash. Weather conditions may have also been a factor. Pilot was airlifted to Sanford and Fargo for treatment. The FAA is investigating. Prosecutors in Faribault, Minnesota say a Tennessee trucker was watching Netflix on his phone just before a crash that killed two people last year. 55-year-old Billy Joe Grimes is facing multiple charges, including two counts of criminal vehicular homicide. Investigators say Grimes ignored road signs telling drivers to slow down as he approached a construction zone on I-35 near Faribault last August. His truck was going 70 miles an hour when it crashed into two vehicles, causing the death of an Iowa couple. Grimes denied using his phone before the crash. A 3-year-old boy is dead after a crash in East Central Minnesota yesterday. Investigators say a car was driving through a work zone on Highway 52 near Hampton when it crossed the center line and was hit by a semi. Crash closed the highway for several hours and led to additional crashes that injured at least 3 people. And an event that attracted thousands of bicycle riders in Mankato, Minnesota, has been canceled due to a contract dispute. The Mankato River Ramble has been held annually since 2011, but a disagreement has led to the cancellation of the October event. Founder Richard Airy owns the name. He walked away from talks at this year's event when the Bike Alliance of Minnesota wanted to involve a lawyer in contract negotiations. You probably heard him in the background knocking things over. Jace Denman has arrived, getting in my business over there. Leave my stuff alone over there, would you?
Hey, get out of my spot.
Were you drinking my beverage? If you show up on time, I wouldn't have to sit over here.
Yeah, well, it was a late night last night.
I know you had Force Hockey, and they didn't quite do it last night, huh?
No, it was a tightly contested game last night, 0-0 after one. Sioux City finally got the first goal of the evening, but Fargo retaliated quickly after that, tying at one going into the third. That all-important third goal last night would go the way of Sioux City after a great chance A scoring chance by the Fargo Force led to a breakout the other direction. Sioux City got the go-ahead goal. They added two empty netters to make the final 4-1. Believe it or not, out of the games that my daughter and I have gone to this year, that is the first time we've seen them lose in regulation all season.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I mean, not that they haven't lost in regulation at home during the season, but that was the first time we had actually seen it. So, series tied at one. Games 3 and 4 will be down in Sioux City on Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Obviously, as a Force fan, it would be preferable if you're only going to split down in Sioux City as well, to get that game 3, just because you don't want to let the other team build up the momentum and that confidence going forward. So Sioux City played really well last night, really kind of locked Fargo down, didn't really allow them to get much going offensively, although, if I'm not mistaken, Fargo did outshoot them on the night. Minnesota Twins continue their win streak. They beat the Chicago White Sox 3-2. Carlos Santana hit a two-run home run while Max Kepler drove in a go-ahead run in the ninth inning. I'm surprised Carlos Santana can play baseball at his age.
Mm-hmm.
In between times when he's making music.
No, it's different.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive about that.
I thought he was just smooth.
No, he is smooth, but it's a different Carlos Santana.
Twins have now won 8 straight games, all against the White Sox and the Angels. Minnesota and Chicago will continue their series tonight. First pitch scheduled at 6:40 p.m. Looks like Simeon Woods-Richardson will be on the hill for the Minnesota Twins. In the NBA playoffs last night, a couple more series ended. The Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 97-89. They sweep the Pelicans. That series wasn't really very close. Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander each had 24 points for the Thunder. C.J. McCollum led the Pelicans with 20. Oklahoma City is going to await the winner of the Clippers and Mavericks for the Western Conference semifinals for their side of the bracket. That series between the Clippers and Mavericks is tied at 2, so you figure there's a game tonight and probably on Thursday. So they just get to sit and wait.
Yeah.
The Denver Nuggets last night beat the Lakers 108-106. Jamal Murray once again ripping their heart out. He hit the game-winning shot with 3.6 seconds left.
And he was kind of hurt. He had some kind of issue or something.
Oh, I forgot. I looked it up last night. He had an ankle or a lower body injury that he was questionable, but he went and made a go of it. They end up winning 108-106. They win that series 4-1. Jamal Murray hitting the game-winner in 2 out of those 5 games. Eastern Conference quarterfinals, Boston Celtics had no problem with the Miami Heat last night. Derek White had 38 points for the Celtics. Bam Adebayo had 25 points and 17 boards. Boston leads that series 3-1. In the NHL, Dallas Stars beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-2. Series is now tied at 2. And a 4-goal third period by the Florida Panthers got them past the Tampa Bay Lightning 6-1 in Game 5. Panthers win the series 4-1, advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals, although they might actually call those the division finals these days because it's all division except for if you're playing a wild card. So my daughter's a little bit bummed because the Tampa Bay Lightning, her last team out of whatever teams to root for in the playoffs, are
they're
done.
Out. Yeah. Oh, well, that happens.
I know. Tune in tonight to Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We're going to break down the Wolves series sweep over the Suns and also going to preview that matchup against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, that's going to be a very good series. I expect that one to go at least 6 or 7 games just because last year the Wolves not playing their best. Karl Anthony Towns have been injured for most of the year. Denver took that series 4-1, I believe, last year. So this year, with a better Minnesota Timberwolves team, we'll see if the Timberwolves can make it a long series or, you know,
it's
maybe even win that one. Yep, exactly.
So.
Defending NBA champs, Minnesota and Denver. First game is going to be Saturday.
All right, looking forward to it. Partly sunny this morning, but clouding up with scattered showers and thunder showers this afternoon. 57 for our high. Winds east-southeast 5 to 15 will drop down to 39 for our overnight low. Partly sunny tomorrow, chance of some spotty showers, 66 for the high, west winds 5 to 15. Thursday, cloudy, showers likely, 56 for the high, mid-50s Friday and Saturday with a chance of rain, up to 67 on Sunday, partly sunny. Right now, it's cloudy. We have 40 degrees here at our WDAY studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds light out of the north. 5:10, we're going to update you here on your national news from ABC, then a question of the morn and a song of the morn coming up. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome. Thanks for being here this morning. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. I should listen better to Dean's forecast because, like, I went golfing. Logan and I went golfing yesterday.
Everybody saw the picture. We're like, what are you guys doing out there?
Well, we thought it was fine. We had our winter jackets on and our winter hats. But I guess it was only supposed to be like 46 and some rain.
Mm-hmm.
It was done raining. There was like a mist once or twice. I think it was like 42 when we were out golfing. But we had fun. I mean, I'm not going to turn down an opportunity for Mother Son time.
Well, yeah, but you don't technically have to go outside in the cold and golf nine holes.
What are we going to do? Sit in the living room and look at each other?
Go to lunch together, you know, maybe work on a puzzle together.
We did go to Costco together first, then I'm like, dude.
You went to Costco yesterday?
Yeah.
I thought you guys just went.
It was so busy. What is everybody doing there on a Monday?
Because everybody's got the same idea as you, is that everybody, like, hey, let's go there, but nobody's there.
There's people there. Yeah, so he insisted. He was bugging me. I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't really need anything. Come on, Mom. So he was pestering me. It's his only day off, and it's like, all right. Then we get home. It's like, well, I got to get all my steps in because I try to get 12,000 steps in. Like, do you want to go golfing? And then we can walk and get my steps in. So he's like, okay, let's go. So that's what we did. So
Get a dog and go for walks.
Or I could have walked on my treadmill. We had a dog. I like my cat better now. She's low maintenance. My dog
that's
was
true.
High maintenance. I walked that dog for 17 years. Did a lot of walks.
There you go.
All right, our question of the morning, we want to know, what's the most interesting thing you've ever eaten? Oh. The red cookies I made you that you're putting down right at the moment?
No, I had crumbs on me. It's probably something related to sushi I've had. I mean, obviously I know that I don't like calamari because I've tried calamari. I mean, I've had, you know, the barbecued eel on sushi and things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know what Rocky Mountain oysters are, so I don't have any interest in eating them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that
I mean, I've seen like cooking shows stuff. I've seen like beef tongue once they cook it.
Oh, we grew up eating that. It's good. It tastes like roast beef.
Well, and the interesting thing is like when you see it though from the outside, you see that just giant tongue there. It doesn't look that appealing. But then when you watch a cooking video and they get the skin of it off and everything, you're like, well, maybe that's not that bad.
Oh,
and,
yeah, it's delicious.
I grew up
eating it.
Maybe there was some time when I was in Tucson having some burritos at some local burrito place. Maybe they used the meat on the head of the cow or something like that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that that's...
Yeah.
Sometimes using some of those tacos and burritos and stuff like that.
Yep, they boil it down too. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, to me, it just goes back to sushi. I haven't eaten anything super weird. I don't think.
I think sushi's weird unless it's cooked like the shrimp or the.
Then it's not sushi. Some
crab. What's the most interesting thing you've ever eaten? Give us a call 701-293-9000. Email us studio@wdaynow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We've got Ty Schoenert in the WDAY News Center. We'll be hearing from him coming up at 5:30. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be along about 6:05, and Big Game James McCarty's back with your WDAY Sports right around 6:10 this morning. Question of the morning, we want to know what's the most interesting thing you have ever eaten. Phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. And you brought up the sushi, and yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in it. Like, I won't eat anything raw. So, I have had the Hornbacher sushi, and I'll eat it if it's like the crab.
What about the salmon?
If it's cooked, but it's not.
It's not cooked.
No. And
yellow
then they put eel
tuna.
Sauce on there, too. That stuff's made out of chopped up eels or what?
I think it's just the sauce that they put on barbecued eels.
But there's like that green sauce. They put it on a lot of sushi.
Green sauce?
It's eel.
What sauce is the green sauce?
It's made out of eel. I'm not eating
I don't know
that.
Which sauce you're talking about.
I don't know.
The only eel sauce is normally like brown colored.
Is it brown?
Yeah.
Well, eels are green, aren't they?
Maybe they're skin, but once you barbecue them, they ain't green.
They're barbecuing your sushi?
The eel, the crab, and the shrimp, those are the three that are normally cooked.
There's not even eel in eel sauce?
No, I told you that.
Sake, mirin, sugar, and soy sauce. I thought it was eel.
No,
eel sauce. I'm not eating chopped up eels.
Eel sauce is the sauce they put on the eel.
What? Well, they shouldn't call it eel sauce.
What should they call it, Bonnie?
Sauce.
Sauce for a cooked eel.
Let's give us a sauce, man.
Oh, man. You're so picky.
I thought it had eel in
it. No, they're not making a sauce out of eel.
Well, it's such a turnoff, the
sound
of it.
That would probably basically be gravy. Sauce made out of beef, that's gravy. Turkey, it's gravy.
If it's like legit gravy, like that stuff, that's, but eel gravy, yeah, no, not happening in
see,
my world.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to make eel gravy and put it on there and be like, oh, no, it's eel sauce.
Well, see, I've just learned something this morning. Eel sauce has no eel in it. I thought it was just like ground up eel.
No.
Ish.
No.
Doesn't that sound gross?
Well, why would you think that?
Why would you call it eel sauce?
Because it's the sauce that goes on the eel.
You eat eel?
Barbecued eel. It's on sushi. It's just a little piece of eel that's been cooked.
No.
And it's on top of a piece of rice, and it's got eel sauce on it.
And you love that?
Those are good. Yeah, those are fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat that.
It's cooked at least.
That doesn't,
It's just fish, Bonnie.
I love fish, but
I mean, it doesn't, at least you don't, it's not like it's got the head on it, because that would be gross. Then I wouldn't eat it. If it had the eel head sitting there looking at you.
What about, what if it was a pig roast and you had the, because sometimes traditional authentic, they'll have the whole head and then they'll shove an apple in its mouth.
Right.
Would you eat the pig roast if you saw the pig there?
Yeah, why?
Well, because you said an eel head.
I think fish and all the, all aquatic creatures are not attractive.
They taste delicious, though.
Eh.
Fish is my wheelhouse. I love fish.
I'd say beef and chicken, turkey, and then pork. Those are like my top four.
Mm.
Fish.
I like everything, but fish is like my top priority. Any kind of fish or crab or shrimp.
Salmon. Well, shrimp is, that's probably my favorite out of the ocean.
Shrimp.
But yeah.
Delicious.
But salmon. I like salmon. I like that because that's just a hearty fish to eat. You know, I mean, it's got some good texture to it. I'm all about texture when it comes to food. Mm-hmm. That's why there's certain foods I don't like. I like the flavor, but I don't like the texture.
Little cookies I made you this morning?
They're good. I mean, thanks for...
He made me frost them. I made the sugar cookies at home, and all I did was heart cutouts because they're easy. So it's and my family likes them plain, and Jason's like, I like frosting.
I like frosting.
I took time after I got done golfing just to frost your cookies this morning. You're welcome. And he demanded red, too. So
I did not. I said white was fine.
No, you can't have white. That's boring. I said you had to have pink, but I got carried away with the food coloring.
So another week has gone by, and that means that once again, my diet will start next week. Thanks, Bonnie.
Good luck. You're welcome.
Every time I get close to thinking about it, he's just like, I'm going to bring him some snacks.
Well, I have to keep you on my good side. You have to have some little treats.
It's true.
Oh, Roger.
Uh-oh.
Okay,
Roger.
Most interesting thing Roger's ever eaten is marmot. You know what that is? I've heard of it.
Is it a varmint?
Kind of. He says it's basically a huge squirrel, like 8 to 10 pounds, very tasty.
Huh.
My husband and his buddy used to go squirrel hunting and eat those all the time. I've never had squirrel.
Dad used to go, grouse hunting?
That's a bird, though.
Yeah. I mean, he did something like that. I mean, so
but that's normal. That's like partridge or...
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it was a little odd, and I think it was more about getting together with the guys than it was about the hunting, because I don't remember really eating grouse. I remember eating pheasant as a kid growing up.
It's all along the same line.
So it wasn't... a huge deal or a huge delicacy in the house or anything like that.
See, I don't think any of that stuff is kind of weird because I grew up eating all that, wild game. Mm-hmm. And then, like you had mentioned, beef tongue. Yep, we grew up eating that. And then liver, kidneys, heart. Like, I grew up eating all that stuff. So
liver a little bit. I don't remember that we had kidney.
My mom would make them in a gravy and then put them over polenta.
Hmm, interesting.
Mm-hmm. We loved them growing up. Most interesting thing you've ever eaten, Susie? She says, all I can tell you is I went to a big wild game feed. Never again. One bite of anything that evening with a huge rum and Coke. She was sick for 2 days, young and stupid. You never know what you're getting at those wild game feeds. It's a little of this and a little of that. And
Well, it was like the time that, I think it was octopus rather than calamari, but I was like a dish at this Japanese restaurant we used to go to in Roanoke Park, California, and I thought it had shrimp and maybe some crab meat or something like that in it, and maybe they threw chicken or something in it, but then I took a spoonful and I'm eating it because I think JC was a baby or something at the time. I took a spoonful of this soup or whatever, this stew, and all of a sudden I bite down on it. It's just rubbery. And you're like, you're like chewing on a piece of rubber. You're like, what? And it was octopus. And I'm like, pass.
I mean, if they take the tentacle off, do they take off like the sucker thing?
Well, I mean, I think you can still see where they were. I mean, so I think they're kind of sort of there. But it was just very, very tough. And I don't know how that meat is enjoyable. I see people on TV. It's like, fried octopus. It's great. I'm just like, well, maybe different parts because the tentacles just seem like they're just.
Maybe it wasn't made correctly.
Maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I'm just, I don't like it.
I think
maybe
I would
my
try
teeth
it.
Maybe my teeth are dull. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think I would try it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like spend $50, $60 on something just to try something. But if so, it was on a buffet line or somebody had it, yeah. It's like, oh, can I taste that?
Cause sure.
My daughter did that with mussels when we were in Florida. She wanted to try them.
Yeah.
And so she ordered them. And it was like, I think the plate of them was $40, $50. And oof. She didn't like them. And it's like, well, I don't want to waste food. So then I tried them. Like, nope, can't do it. This isn't happening.
So which one? Mussels is, I mean, that's different than oysters and different
well,
than...
Well, that's what it was, like oysters. Is that the same?
I don't know.
Mussels, it was a thing
oysters.
On the shell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work in our world. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. How are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad. Got a road report for you.
Oh, what do you have?
Real thick fog in North Moorhead, and then it clears out, and then closer to West Fargo, it's real thick. I mean, it's like 16th of a mile at best in places.
Really? Okay. Well, we'll have to check and see if they have any fog advisories out this morning. I wasn't aware of that, so thank you. Appreciate that. You want to weigh in? Want to weigh in on our question of the morn?
No, I don't eat weird things.
There you go.
Good job.
Well, Dennis, thank you for listening, and thanks for passing that along. We appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
You bet. It is 5:32. We head into the WDAY News Center now with Ty Schoner. Good morning to you, Ty.
Hello, and a good morning to the both of you. How are you two doing this morning?
Pretty good. You hear that dense fog here in the metro and parts of the metro this morning.
Yeah, I heard about that. My vehicle, when I was driving here, it wasn't like it was foggy, but I'd have to use my wipers every 10 seconds or so because I kept on condensing on my vehicle windshield and stuff like that. So I guess I can see where that's coming from. It wasn't too foggy here in the metro, of course, because usually it doesn't just roll in like that. But
well, it can change pretty quick, though. I mean, you've been here an hour already, so.
I suppose. Things
really
could change.
Thick there in Moorhead, so.
Yeah. Even looking out this window, some of the streetlights that are pretty much across the street, some of them a little hazy there.
You
so
can see that. Yep.
Yeah, so I can see where they're coming from with that. Yeah,
I don't see. I mean, I'm looking at our weather page now at WDAYRadioNow.com. I don't see any dense fog warnings or anything out there like that right
now. Nor do I. So when Dean comes in, maybe he can clarify what the heck's happening right now.
You think he's going to know?
I mean, he might know. At least he'll know the right places to check at the very least.
Yeah, he'll know what's going on out there. All right. Mr. Adventure, what's the most interesting thing you've ever eaten?
I've tried tiger meat before. Wasn't a fan.
I'm not going to do that. Just because.
I don't like tiger meat that much.
You can get like E. coli or salmonella or something off that.
For those listening at home, tiger meat is raw hamburger.
Yeah.
And it's seasoned raw hamburger.
It's still raw hamburger.
It's seasoned raw hamburger. And I think from my understanding.
So you don't like the steak tartare?
No, you'd be safer to eat steak tartare, but hamburger, no.
Yeah, it's not that it's weird. I like eating raw potato every now and again, too. It just, like, put a little salt on it, and it's delicious, because it's a weird
like
way
that.
To eat it. It's not really that weird, though. I like going around to eat just various foods in the metro, though, and that's not super adventurous, but, like, I'll go to Indian food places, I'll go to, like, Mexican food places, I'll try things out. I really do enjoy going to get food that I don't really typically have, and it's a lot of different flavors, a lot of different, like, sensations and stuff. It's really good. I really enjoy it.
Would you do Rocky Mountain oysters? Barb has had those. A lot of people have eaten those.
I mean, it feels icky to like think about it, but I would probably try it. Yeah, I would try it.
I would pass.
If you didn't tell me what it was, I think I might enjoy it.
Yeah.
If my parents would have got it to me a bit earlier, but I remember being at my aunt and uncle's farm, and we were going to have those, and I was like a teenager, and I knew what they were, so I was like, no, I'm good.
Not that I want this to happen. I've never had lutefisk before either.
Lutefisk?
Yeah, I've never had it. I know people out there are like, well, now we got to get in some lutefisk. But I don't know if I really want to try it, but it's something I've never had.
And I was excited to try it because I thought I would like it since I like fish and seafood. And I remember our Norwegian neighbors across the swamp, the Olsons. I remember walking in their house and you'd smell it. And it's just like, as a kid, I thought it was like, well, it's kind of a weird smell in your house right now. So I tried it about, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. Made it in the microwave, which probably isn't the best way to make it. Although there were directions to make it in the microwave, but it didn't work for me.
It's a new microwave after that.
I've heard people describe it as fish jelly.
Yeah, and that it's gelatinous, or at least mine was when I cooked it. You have to go to like Sons of Norway or a good one that has it here. So you're either going to love it or it'd be like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
All right. Well, I'm probably in that second camp, but we'll have to figure it out at some point, I think.
The good thing at a lot of those meals, they also offer Swedish meatballs. So if you can't handle the lutefisk, you can go for the meatballs.
And I haven't met a single person who doesn't like those.
Oh, delicious.
I know. I have met people who don't like bacon, though.
I don't get that. Like, yeah, I have, too. And it's just like, oh, bacon is life, man.
Bacon is delicious. I don't know. People just don't like it. Some people just don't like it.
I know some people that don't like cheese either. It's like, what?
I'm not a huge cheese fan.
Do they have no tolerance for lactose?
Well, I could understand that, but no, they just don't like the taste of cheese.
My dad will eat cheese off the block. Like, he'll literally chomp into a block of it. And I'm like, okay, that's like a bit too much. I'll have it with things. I'll have it like on pizza. I'll have it like in combination with stuff, but I'm not seeking out mozzarella, you know?
We always grew up, we had so much cheese in our house growing up. My mom and dad would buy all different varieties that I just love it. But it's mm-hmm. like, I just wish it wasn't so high in fat and calories.
Because yeah,
it's like, yeah, a portion size is the size of two dice. Eats two dice?
When we come back, by the way, I'm happy to hear about some of those things on the Facebook page. Maybe I'll try some of them out if I haven't had them before. We'll see. Another time. We'll come back to that, though.
Okay.
All right. All seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission participating in a debate hosted by WDAY Radio tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Hallstrom begin coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate, moderated by Tom Tucker, airing at 6 to 8 p.m. Jay, Scott, and Steve will then take your calls and emails from 8 to 9. The seven candidates vying for two open seats, which are up for grabs in the June primary. The candidates are incumbents Arlett Preston and John Strand, and several challengers, Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Poland. They're all expected to weigh in on a range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, and housing. A Grand Forks teen accused in a deadly stabbing, pleading not guilty to murder. Police say 18-year-old Casimir Haskins stabbed 24-year-old Anthony Economy to death in March during a fight in an apartment complex parking lot. Investigators say the fight was caught on video, showing Haskins holding a knife. He's charged with felony murder and faces a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. A Grand Forks man accused of multiple crimes stemming from a car chase that happened earlier this year, pleading not guilty. Justin Peterson accused of leading police on a pursuit in March after an officer smelled marijuana in his vehicle during a traffic stop. Peterson crashed into a telephone pole in a laundromat and was arrested after he fled on foot and fell into the Red River. Police say they found about 180 grams of meth and nearly 37 grams of marijuana in Peterson's backpack. He faces several fleeing and drug-related charges. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson will soon be recognized as one of the top 10 police officers in the U.S. He'll be receiving a top award from the National Association of Police Organizations. Robinson credited for stopping a would-be mass shooting in Fargo last July, when Mohammed Barakat opened fire on several police officers, killing Officer Jake Walleen and wounding two other officers along with a civilian. The award ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 12th. A candidate for Fargo School Board says he wants more information before condemning a decision by the district not to follow a new state law.
Background in law enforcement, I believe in the rule of law. I think laws are put in place for a reason. I don't fully understand why they're not following that law. I would lean on legal counsel to advise on what the district is doing.
Fargo Public School Board candidate Jason Nelson speaking on the flags. What's on your mind? The law would require teachers and staff members to inform parents of a child's want to transition to a different gender. The district has repeatedly stated they will continue to follow federal guidelines instead of the newly passed state law. And prosecutors in Faribault, Minnesota say a Tennessee trucker was watching Netflix on his phone before a crash that killed two people last year. 55-year-old Billy Joe Grimes facing multiple charges, including two counts of criminal vehicular homicide. Investigators say Grimes ignored road signs telling drivers to slow down as he approached a construction zone on I-35 near Faribault last August. Grimes' truck going about 70 miles an hour when it crashed into two vehicles, causing a death of an Iowa couple. Grimes denied using his phone before the crash. I'm Ty Schoenert with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's look at our forecast. We have Bonnie Amistadi in our Skywatch Weather Center. What are we seeing out there?
Well, heads up for some thick fog. We got a call from Dennis right before the news there reporting very thick fog in the Moorhead area. Could be a hit and miss here in the metro. We're looking for partly sunny skies this morning, clouding up with scattered showers and thunder showers this afternoon. 57 for our high temp. Winds will be east, southeast 5 to 15, low around 39. Tomorrow, partly sunny, chance of spotty showers with a high of 66, west winds 5 to 15. Thursday, cloudy, showers likely again, cooler, 56 for the high, east winds 10 to 20. 50 still Monday and Saturday with a chance of rain. Sunday looks like we'll bounce up to 67, partly sunny skies. Right now in Fargo-Moorhead, we do have cloudy skies. We can see, looking at the streetlights, it appears there's a little bit of light fog, at least in the metro here in Fargo. In Fargo, 40 degrees right now at our WDAY studios. Winds light out of the north. It's 5:41. Our question of the morn: what is the most interesting thing you have ever eaten? If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark says when he went to the Chinese buffet for the first time, we never had anything like that when I was young. And yeah, I guess that, because it's interesting, you know, when you first go to a buffet, maybe you're 10, 12 years old and you've never been to a Chinese buffet, you're going to find all sorts of foods that probably aren't common in your house.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think there might be a couple different places in Watertown, because that's the, you know, the quote-unquote big town that we went to as a kid, and obviously it's grown over the years as well, but now there's a couple, like, Chinese buffets there. I don't know that there was many, if any at all, growing up. I don't really recall. I don't think that, honestly, I probably tried sushi until, I can't remember if I was when I lived in Tucson, when I was, I would have been like mid-20s.
Mm. Oh, so, you said way before. Carly, one of my daughters, talked me into it like maybe 7 years ago, because I'm like, I'm not eating that stuff.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that by me having it in my mid-20s and still enjoying it now, my daughters have grown up, especially living in a metro area like this, where now we've got two places that are all-you-can-eat sushi places. I mean, they've grown up, you know, at least sampling sushi, and they like to go to the Hornbacher's and get sushi.
I mean, sushi's great.
Those guys, I mean, my daughter's just like, can we at least go get sushi? And it's just like,
even Logan, he was my holdout. Like, the girls that like sushi got me into, you know, liking certain items. And
like
then
two of them, a California roll.
Yep, and that's what Logan likes too.
Yeah, I like California roll because it's cooked and it's got just some veggies and it's fine.
Yeah, both of us. He picks the avocado out where I eat
good
it.
Logan.
But we do like the Hornbacher stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the Hornbachers in town have the same family that prepares it. And
amazing.
And they're very, very good. So, I mean, sometimes if you time it just right and you're looking for to get enough for the family, well, then all of a sudden they'll have like a family platter there that's a lot cheaper. And so he's like, you want this? Just 1 second. And you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's made fresh too.
Yeah,
so
they do a good job. Mm-hmm. 5:43, we're going to update you here on your national news and sports from ABC. He's got to sit here and look at me dance. You played the song.
I know. That's trying to get callers.
Oh.
Get it?
You were trying to get me to dance, I think.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Then he like turns himself so he doesn't have to look at me. You're welcome. I don't even charge you extra for that. Foggy here in the metro. Drive with care. Temperatures dropped a few degrees. We're at 38 right now. Winds are light out of the north. Therefore, that fog is settled in. And if the winds pick up, it would push it out of the area. But just be careful as you're traveling. What's the most interesting thing you have eaten? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. You can email us studio at WDAYradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids, very adventurous. Calamari and octopus at a neighborhood party seafood boil. Crawdads, blue crab, Dungeness crab, king crab, and then pickled turkey gizzards at the Wadena VFW. You haven't lived. You haven't lived if you haven't had pickled turkey gizzards or eggs out of a jar at a small town bar.
Can I get a gobble of them egg? Pickled eggs, everybody.
I don't care if I'm pickled as much. I like turkey gizzards like my mom would fry them up.
I believe they had chicken gizzards at the local bar or whatever. Which
turkey
I don't,
are bigger.
I don't know where they got them from. My dad really liked them. I remember that.
The pickled ones? Or were they
fried? The fried. Like,
deep fried?
Deep fried
they're
chicken
delicious
gizzards
that
or
way.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
James says, and I
I know I've tried it. I've tried at least I've tried a brat made out of it. Alligator on a pellet grill. I think even at the Red River Valley Fair in past years, well, we had alligator.
They've got a couple at Worst Beer Hall.
Yep.
They've got
That's
some,
where I've had the alligator brat.
I'd have to look at their menu again because they've got the brat flight. They've got three different flavors. But I don't know
they've
that
got
those
rattlesnake
were,
and
I think
they
got
have
elk.
Had it. And yep, and rabbit. There's all sorts of different.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of them there, and I don't remember if I've had any or all of them or some of them. Because the getting the flight of the different brats is just kind of up my alley because then it feels like there's more food and there's three different. There's like three like half brats rather than a full one.
So. I remember going with some friends, and so we just ordered a bunch of different ones, and snakes. I don't like snakes, but I did try the alligator. It wasn't to my liking. It was just dry, I thought.
Yeah.
The wild boar one is phenomenal. That's like my main go-to.
I want to say I had that one before.
It's delicious.
I'm trying to bring up their menu so I can...
It's just like a good pork, if you think about it, which most brats are made out of. Charles, I don't know where Charles is eating, but oh my goodness. Somewhere, I guess, over the pond, I would say.
Yes.
Fermented shark meat.
I don't know why you'd want to ferment it.
Does that mean it would be rotty then if it's fermented?
Well, think about it. I mean, I know JC actually bought some at a store. I don't know exactly why, but she brought kimchi.
Yeah,
that's fermented like cabbage or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I've had that. I've eaten at a Korean restaurant before.
I've tried it, and I know it can vary depending on where you're getting it from. I did not care for it. I really wanted to try it. Thought it, you know, I'm pretty adventurous. I didn't care for it, but it might have just been where it came from.
Worst Beer Hall here locally has some of their exotic sausage menu says boar.
Yep, that's the wild boar, yep.
Elk with jalapeno and cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Pheasant.
Oh, I haven't tried the pheasant ones.
Venison with huckleberry and bacon. And they've also got a jackalope. It's jackrabbit and antelope.
Haven't tried that one.
I'm trying to just figure out where the...
I think if you look down on the right side, lower, and I know they probably have redone their menu, but I know they had the rattlesnake when we ate there.
Yeah, I know that they've had that there as well, too.
But they're,
I mean, they've
their
got
brats are
they've got sausage platters there. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to find where it says the flight, because I know...
I think you get to pick
flavors.
Three. You get to pick whatever three you want.
Yeah, but I thought they just had it on there like this, and this.
So. Oh.
And so you just were like, yeah, that's what I want because it's got like, you know, they had like a buffalo style one where it's got buffalo sauce on it and some other toppings. And then there's, you know, some different ones. So
we should go to Worst Beer Hall with our little Jimmy one day.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go do lunch one day. Okay. I'm going back to Charles.
Okay.
Besides his fermented shark meat, pickled sheep's testicles.
Hard pass.
Well, I don't know, maybe. Like, do they taste like gizzards or do they taste like Rocky Mountain oysters? But they're pickled. I would
top of it, too.
I could maybe try them, maybe. So maybe. Somebody's going to bring some in. I don't know where he got these. He says there's probably more adventurous stuff, but those are the ones that stand out in his memory. I bet they're fine. Pickled sheep's testicles? No?
Anything pickled is not fine.
I know you don't like pickles,
I don't.
I don't know, maybe. Oh, Mother Mary with the escargot. She's eaten it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. She said two times was enough. Have you had that?
No. I want to say my folks tried it when they were on some vacation since retirement or something like that. But, I mean, it doesn't.
I bet they taste really snaily. Like.
Well, they cook. I mean, don't they just kind of like boil them in their shells and then you got to put butter on them or something?
Sometimes they put like breadcrumbs and
something.
I don't know.
I mean, it just.
I don't know.
Even, you know. The whole presentation of it, it doesn't really look like something. Like, man, that actually looks pretty good.
I bet they're rubbery, like chewy.
Yeah.
But I bet they have a fishy taste to them. I mean, like,
could be.
If somebody was serving them up, I would try one.
Yeah.
Just probably one. Maybe. And then I'd be like, yeah, that's not
That's
happening.
A hard pass.
Lucas had crickets at Big Iron a couple of years back.
Oh,
I remember
okay.
when they were hawking the crickets, they were trying to get everybody to eat them. I don't think I ever tried them.
No, I mean, it's not like high on my list of something to try. But I know that there's certain portions of people out there that are like, well, you know, crickets, other types of bugs and stuff like that, it's a good source of protein, blah, blah, blah.
They're just crunchy.
Yeah, but
I've seen
people
eating them.
I just would rather get my protein from beef.
I mean, I could eat it, like, if we had to. Like, if you had a contest, like, you can eat that? I'm not going to eat it. It's like, yeah, I could eat a cricket. Would I crave crickets?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, I can see that.
But like I said, we grew up eating everything, so I am pretty adventurous. At least I will try things. Can't guarantee I'll like them, but I'll try them. And yeah, quite a few people with the Rocky Mountain oysters. Janae's going to bring those in someday. You just wait and see.
Pass.
She's our connection.
Yeah, I'm not going to have those.
No?
No. No.
How about beef tongue? Roast beef. It tastes like roast beef. Put ketchup on it, it's good.
Well, it depends on how it's obviously prepared. I don't want it sitting on my plate looking like a giant tongue, obviously.
It doesn't. My mom would slice it up, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I really enjoyed that.
I saw a video or I saw something on Food Network, and it, you know, once they got it out of the skin and they cooked it and they it steamed it, however they cooked it for, you know, slow cooked it for 2-4 hours, however, and then the meat just fell apart. Then it looked a lot better.
It is super, super tender. Yeah, if you cook it right. And, you know, I grew up in the generation where we had to eat everything. Yeah. And then my mom and dad's generation, you know, they grew up having to eat. You know, they didn't have money. They had to eat everything back then. So I suppose you just get used to it. Pretty foggy. Drive with care. We have 38 degrees right now at our WDAY studios. 5:56. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Just dancing in the fog this morning. Foggy here in the FM Metro. Kind of rolled in quick this morning.
It's still dark out.
It is dark, but if you get up and go look out the door, you can see it's definitely very foggy out there.
I'll take your word for it.
Drive with care. Did some research on this fermented shark meat that Charles mentioned having.
Hard-hitting news right here, folks.
I see in Iceland, it's like a delicacy for them, and they take shark meat and they hang it to dry for 4 to 5 months, so it probably ends up kind of like being a jerky almost, right?
I mean, I would think so, but there's no guarantee.
I would try that too, I guess. When in Iceland.
I would probably be more prone to try the shark meat as opposed to
the pickled,
sheep's testicles.
Or the escargot. What's your first pick, the shark meat?
It's going to kind of depend on how. I mean, my thought it would be on the fermented shark meat. It's going to have a sour taste to it.
I don't know if it would be sour or not.
I don't know. I'd probably still say shark meat. So
I would try all three of those. Actually, good morning, friend. Who's this?
Rockin' Randall.
Hi, Randy. How are you this morning?
Cut the little path in front of me trying to get home.
Yeah, it's pretty foggy out there. How far visibility would you estimate?
I don't know, probably 200-300 yards, maybe.
Okay, yeah, it kind of just kind of rolled in quick.
Oh, about 4 o'clock, it was so thick. Wow. It was crazy.
Indeed. All right, are you an adventurous eater?
A what?
An adventurous eater. We want to know the most interesting thing that you have ever eaten in your lifetime.
Oh, probably when I was over in Spain, they have a delicacy of snails.
The escargot.
And at the table, they give you some toothpicks and a bowl of snails. You pick them out and eat them.
Yep.
Not the tastiest thing.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
And I've had squid, you know, and that I didn't care for. It's just too rubbery.
Yeah. You kind of sound like me, though. You're willing to try things.
Oh, God, yes. Anything, like I said before, anything but spinach out of a can I can eat.
Yeah, fresh spinach is much better than spinach out of a can.
That's true. Even this for the salads.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Popeye. Drive safe out there.
Yep. You guys have a wonderful week, and I'll chat at you another day.
That sounds awesome. Thanks, Randy. We are WDAY Fargo. Time now to head into the WDAY News Center with Ty Schoenert.
Thank you, Bonnie. And let's head over to the seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission, participating in a debate hosted by WDAY Radio tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Hallstrom. They begin our coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate moderated by Tom Tucker, airing from 6 to 8 p.m. Jay, Scott, and Steve taking your calls and emails from 8 to 9. The seven candidates vying for two open seats up for grabs in the June primary. The candidates are incumbents Arlette Preston and John Strand, and challengers Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Pullen. They're all expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, and housing. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson will soon be recognized as one of the top 10 police officers in the U.S. He'll be receiving a top award from the National Association of Police Organizations. Robinson credit with stopping a would-be mass shooting in Fargo last July, when Mohamed Barakat opened fire on several police officers, killing Officer Jake Wallin and wounding two others along with a civilian. The awards ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 12th. Fargo Public School Board candidate Jason Nelson says he's hearing one clear message on the campaign trail.
There's a lot of disruptions in our schools, and so that gets brought up a lot by parents and teachers all over the district.
Nelson speaking on his candidacy on the flags, What's on Your Mind. The NDSU graduate and former Fargo police lieutenant describing himself as a small government guy looking to give back to his community. A Grand Forks teen accused in a deadly stabbing, pleading not guilty to murder. Police say 18-year-old Kazmir Haskins stabbed 24-year-old Anthony Economy to death in March following a fight in an apartment complex parking lot. Investigators say the fight was caught on video, showing Haskins holding a knife. He's charged with felony murder and faces a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. A Grand Forks man accused of multiple crimes stemming from a car chase that happened earlier this year, pleading not guilty. Justin Peterson accused of leading police on a pursuit in March after an officer smelled marijuana in his vehicle during a traffic stop. Peterson crashed into a telephone pole and then a laundromat and was arrested after he fled on foot and fell into the Red River. Police say they found about 180 grams of meth and nearly 37 grams of marijuana in Peterson's backpack, facing several fleeing and drug-related charges. City of Grand Forks and the Grand Forks Airport urging residents to respond to a survey they're conducting online. The airport considering expanding, which would include adding destinations, the number of flights, and new commercial service. Now, officials say getting feedback from residents and businesses is essential. Business travel also targeted as a key area for improvement. I'm Ty Schoenert with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's look at our forecast. We have our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, in the Skywatch Weather Center. Looks like pea soup out there, Dean. What happened?
That's thicker than Beyonce. Is that okay to say?
Probably not.
Okay.
But you did.
Hey, she's beautiful.
She is.
Not saying it's a bad thing.
Thick is good.
It's T-H-I-C-C.
Oh, is
that is the correct one. That is the good one.
Oh, is that the good one? Well, yeah. That's how the fog is this morning.
I know. It's kind of like the P-H-A-T.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, see, yeah. I'm too old. I don't know.
Old dogs can learn new tricks,
they
right?
They can, yes. Take it slow. Slow your roll out there this morning. Again, not everybody's seeing. I left the 52nd Street exit. It was fine. I mean, it was clear. And then you could see, looking north, just a big fog bank ready to roll in, and that's exactly what's happened. So.
What's causing it to? Because usually you think like heat and humidity.
Light winds and moisture.
Okay.
Light winds and low level moisture kind of trapped. There's no wind to stir things up. We got light winds out there, so that's what's causing the fog. Now, what's going to happen here? You're going to be in and out of this thick pea soup fog here in the FM area for the next few hours. You'll run into pockets of clear visibility, and then bam, you drive right back into the thick fog. This should burn off by about 10 o'clock. We'll see limited sunshine, and then we'll see the clouds increase. And we'll see some afternoon, looks like mid to late afternoon showers, maybe even a rumble of thunder, with highs today in the upper 50s. Currently, we're 37 here at the studio, 37 in Moorhead, 40 in DL. Yulin, you're at 38, Wahpeton's 41. A few pockets where there isn't fog that are below freezing. Gardner-Galesburg, you're at 30. Grand Forks is at 37. The rain will push out of here by sunset or shortly afterwards.
And then we'll have partly cloudy skies overnight tonight and could see some more patchy, dense fog with lows around 40. Winds will be out of the west, about 10 to 20. And then Wednesday is going to be a beauty. It will be breezy with west winds 10 to 25. Highs in the upper 60s. Not too bad of a day. Clouds come back on Thursday. Yeah, rain showers move back into the area with highs in the 50s. That'll probably last into early Friday as well, with cool highs in the lower to middle 50s. What does the weekend look like? Are we going to see sunshine this weekend and drier weather? I'll have those answers for you coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
Well, you know it's May tomorrow, right?
It is. I better have a May Day basket sitting on my desk.
Aw, that's cute. Janae? Yeah. The boys want May Day baskets. I'm a little busy today doing nothing, but I'm
were you all golfing yesterday?
Well, apparently I don't listen well enough to your forecast. Today I heard you saying it's going to rain and not until sunset before it ends, so I'm paying attention. But yeah, it wasn't bad. Like, there was just a little fine mist once or twice, but we wore our winter jackets. And yeah,
we're the only ones out there.
There was some – Logan and I had our winter jackets on, winter hats. There's some dude out there. I kid you not. He had jeans on and a t-shirt.
Whoa.
People run beautiful different. Out. Some people are always hotter than others out there. But no, there was a handful. There was probably about a dozen of us out there. We only did 9 holes at the Meadows. So,
gotcha.
No, it was fine.
Okay.
Out there, it was fine. I got home, though, and it was like it took a couple hours for my hands and feet to get warm again. But it's like – I guess I didn't listen very well to
Dean. Go tomorrow. Tomorrow looks nice.
Okay, tomorrow looks better. Okay, are you an adventurous eater? We're asking the most interesting thing you've ever eaten.
Dog food.
Well, yeah. As an adult or a child.
We won't answer that.
Both. Did you enjoy it more as an adult or a child?
We're at a family get together. It was Christmas time, and I lost a bet. You lose a bet.
Yeah. You're a betting guy.
We were playing. What were we playing? We were playing some card game, and I'm like, you guys are going. You're going down. No, I went down. So I had to eat the. It was, and it wasn't the dry dog food.
It was the soft stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, for ish.
Hey, it wasn't. I swear, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't.
This is a man who keeps his word, though, when it comes to betting.
Hey, if I lose a bet, I lose a bet.
Yeah.
Had to eat the wet dog food, but other than that, shark.
Okay.
Calamari. Mm-hmm. And the calamari strips are the way to go. I know not many restaurants sell them that way, but the rings are there. Like the one caller said, they're a little rubbery.
Like deep fried bread.
Deep fried.
The Schwanzmann used to sell those because my mom would buy them. Yeah. They were smaller strips. Yeah. But
these are breaded, and I think they were probably air fried. Had them at a restaurant down in Phoenix, and oh, they were to die for.
Yeah, I thought they were good.
Let's see. So shark that, bull's testicles.
I did.
I didn't know what I was eating.
Would you eat them again if you knew what they were?
Absolutely. Yeah, they were pretty good. Yeah. You have to have the right sauce to dip them in, though.
And you've got to be sauced.
No, they weren't that bad. Let's see. What else? Alligator. Alligator's really good. That's expensive, though. There's no places around here, I don't think, that sell it.
There used to, I think maybe back in the day, Cajun Cafe had it, but I think at like the Red River Valley Fair in previous years, like a number of years back, that you could get it, like little nuggets of it.
Okay. Boy, I can't think of anything else that's too off the wall. But I love trying different stuff. I don't think I will ever try. It scares me from the stories I've heard about it. Unless I go down to the Sons of Norway to try it, I will not try lutefisk.
I've tried it. I didn't like it, but I did try it. Okay. But that's a good place to try it, is Sons of Norway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
They also offer up usually meatballs, so if you don't like the lutefisk, you can have the
It's funny, though, because at Sons of Norway, they'll have Swedish meatballs. I don't know how that
right.
works.
Yeah, right? What's the strangest thing you've heard come in from our listeners?
Charles, fermented shark meat and pickled sheep's testicles.
Like, the shark is okay, but the sheep testicles, really?
Yeah, but I mean, that would be fine. You ate Rocky Mountain oysters, which is bull.
Yeah.
I mean, but then they pickle them. So I think they would taste like a pickled gizzard, I would say.
No, thank you.
It looks like an Iceland type thing.
I'll stick with losing my bet.
That's where I draw the line at dog food. Nope, not happening.
Just do the wet stuff.
That'd be worse than a crunchy nugget. Fresh
pet is made out of real food, so you know.
It was funny because watching my sister literally almost threw up watching me eat it. That might have been the best part.
Oh, we like to do that stuff to our siblings too, though. So that's fun. It is 6:12.
game. James McCarty is going to be in with your WDAY Sports coming up shortly. Right now, your national news from ABC.
6:15 in the morning on a foggy, foggy Tuesday. Not the best news last night, James, when it came to the Fargo Force, but Twins stayed hot.
Yeah, the Minnesota Twins had their longest winning streak actually sustained since, do you know what year?
1997.
It's been over a decade.
Oh.
Really? That long, huh?
Well, you don't get to play, like, two of the worst teams in baseball for the 8 straight games either.
Hey. Hey, we're winning. We're winning who the MLB put in front of us.
Just trying to temper people's expectations.
Edged out the Chicago White Sox 3-2 last night on a 2-run homer from Carlos Santana's 4th of the year. Max Kepler had the go-ahead RBI single in the 9th. Twins now won 8 straight games. Longest winning streak since 2011.
Oh, geez.
Twins, Sox tonight, 6-4 to game 2 of that series. Simeon Woods Richardson will be on the bump for the Twins. If you're not familiar with who that is,
he was the
top prospect involved in that Jose Barrios trade a couple of years ago to Toronto. It's been, what, 3 years now already?
I forgot about it.
Well, yeah, it's been a while regardless.
You're supposed to know that. Don't look at me for
It's been 3 or 4. I'm just trying to remember how many. I think it's been 3. But regardless.
I'm learning about quality starts and other things like that from you. You can't expect me to remember all the transactions.
Well, I was hoping that you were doing some research while I was gone.
He was busy.
I was busy.
Doing nothing.
You're eating cookies.
I saved you two,
isn't that sweet?
Oh, aww, it is cute. Oh, they're heart-shaped, too.
I know.
That's
because
of that.
Those are love cookies. I made for you boys.
There was no love on the ice last night.
Mm. No.
A trio of third-period goals powering the Sioux City Musketeers past the Force 4-1. Series now tied up at a game apiece. Jake Fisher scored for Fargo. One thing I was trying to figure out, at the game.
Yeah, didn't make it back in time to go to the game then?
No, I would have liked to, but I didn't get back into town until about 8:30, 8:45, 8:40, right. Somewhere in there.
All right, so what's the question?
Well, Hampton saved, I believe, 21 of 22 shots.
He would have given up 2 goals last night.
That's what I would have thought, but based on the stat sheet, it said he only gave up 1. On the USHL's website. So that's what I was trying to figure out, because if he gave up 2, it would make sense for 2 empty netters. I was trying to figure out how we would have given up
3 empty netters.
3, yeah. No. when it would have been tied. Okay.
No,
was the question I had. That's why I didn't put it in the notes this morning. I wanted to make sure that I heard it from the voice of somebody who watched all 60 minutes.
No, it was 0-0 after 1 in the second period. Sioux City got on the board first with a goal from Hagan Burrows. Eventually, they gave the goal to Jake Fisher. Originally, they gave it to Max Swanson, but after a review, because it was kind of a scramble in front of the net, and at first it looked like, you know, Fisher was just there, but Max shot it. But obviously they gave credit to Jake. I was trying to find the stats here. They've got the stats corrected. He saved 24 out of 26 shots.
Oh, they did switch it up. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, 21 out of 22 was Sunday night, I believe.
Well, that was the odd part, because it was 4-1, so that's why I think they might have adjusted some stuff after the game.
They got the go-ahead goal with about 6 minutes to go, 6:06 left on the clock. Then they added a pair of empty netters. The only thing I would say is they got the last empty netter with like 3 seconds left, and the goaltender for Sioux City, Samuel Urban, I don't know how he pronounces it, he's from Slovakia. He really tried to shoot that one down and get that goal himself, but then his teammate Kessler knocked it in because it was off target. But I don't know if Sioux City was trying to send a message or anything, but I do know this, that during the regular season, out of the 8 matchups these two teams had, Fargo won 7 of 8, and now this, you know, playoffs is a different season. It's tied at 1, but obviously game 3 in a best-of-5, critical game right there coming up on Thursday night down in Sioux City at Tyson Event Center.
Mm-hmm. And the NBA playoffs wise, Oklahoma City Thunder defeating the Pelicans 97-89, punching their ticket to the second round. It was a sweep, sweep, sweep. OKC now gets the winner of the LA Clippers and Mavericks in the Western Conference semis. And the Denver Nuggets sneaking past the Lakers 108-106 last night to win that series 4-1. Denver now battles Minnesota in the Western Conference semifinals. Game 1 of that best-of-7 series will be in Denver on Saturday.
Yep.
Time to be determined, network to be determined. I would like to assume that it'll be an evening game, but it may be game 3 of a 4-game kind of Saturday.
Now, here's what I will say. There's only going to be, I don't know if we're at the point yet, James, that where they're going to have it split up with the East, or at least two games on one day, the other two on the next day. They're going to rotate back and forth, so there's always at least two games during the second round.
I was thinking quarterfinals, it's semifinals.
Semifinals. So there's only going to be four games, so it should hopefully kind of rotate back and forth. But we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, I'm trying to think. So we've got Denver versus Minnesota. Oklahoma City's waiting. They might have to wait two more days at least to find out who's advancing there. And then on the East side, we've only got, what, one team advanced so far? Oh, no, actually, nobody's advanced so far yet. 3-1, 3-1, 2-2, 3-1.
So yeah, I think they're all, yeah.
There's they a- could, they, some of them could be wrapped up tonight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's it?
Correct.
All right.
All right, so a lot of people have superstitions. They've got lucky charms.
They've got little stitions.
Touch the sausage. We'll talk more about that coming up next.
Bonnie, not
6:23 on a Tuesday morning. Good morning. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Make sure you tune into WDAY Radio tonight or follow our social media pages. We have a Fargo City Commission debate. All seven candidates will be participating. Join us for the pre-coverage with Jay Thomas, Scott Hennon, and Steve Holstrom beginning at 5:30. Tom Tucker will moderate our debate. That airs from 6 to 8. And then Jay, Scott, and Steve will take your calls and emails from 8 until 9 o'clock right here on WDAY Radio. Charles, thank you for the Road Warrior Report. Fairly thick fog, westbound Highway 10 from Lake Park to Moorhead. Visibility gets down to less than an eighth of a mile. Also foggy eastbound, Highway 10 from Lake Park to Detroit Lake. Speeds are reduced, and we do have the thick fog here in parts of the metro area as well. Big game, James McCarty joining us now. And the Twins, apparently they have a lucky charm. Is that what we call it? A lucky sausage. A lucky sausage. Okay.
Seems like a Wisconsin thing.
We should probably clarify before people get some interesting ideas.
It's weird.
It's a sausage that is lucky. There, is that better? I clarify.
Yeah, I suppose that's a little bit better.
A sausage that brings them luck? What kind of a sausage? Cloverdale?
Summer sausage.
Cloverdale summer sausage, okay.
Is it a stuffed toy or is it an actual sausage that's going to rot on them and it's going to go
bad? Very well could. It's a legitimate summer sausage. Like you would go to the grocery store. You would go to the grocery store, get it prepackaged. It says Cloverdale on it. You're like, oh, that'll be really good on our family picnic to the park today. And this thing has been not refrigerated for one. And for two, it has been thrown around the dugout for legitimately 8 days now.
Oh, that's not going to be good for
So
anybody.
What I found hilarious was...
They should freeze it before the games and then bring it out so it'll last longer.
Yeah, either way, I just...
Touch the sausage before you go up to bat is kind of what they're doing, right?
Maybe you should have a
My favorite part about this whole thing, though, is... The fact that they always ask, are you superstitious or are you not superstitious? And this has gotten to the point where...
We're just a little stitious. We're not superstitious.
The entire team has to, before you go up to bat, has to touch the sausage. They have to place their hand on the summer sausage. And then after guys are scoring runs, because the reason that this whole thing came to be, it was kind of like, the vest the Twins had for home runs last year that Pablo bought for the team. Yeah. It said Land of 10,000 Rakes on it.
Yep.
Randomly, it was the third day of this or third or fourth day of this, one of the guys scored a run and a legitimate, the summer sausage that we're talking about, it went airborne out of the dugout on towards the field area caught it and then ran into the dugout with it.
Oh.
And people were like, what was that? Because unprovoked, if you're a fan in the stands and you see a guy scoring a run and then jogging back to the dugout and a large object just gets fired out of the dugout. He catches it and then sprints into the dugout.
Yeah.
Without actually showing what it is. I mean, leave it up to the mind and the imagination of people, right?
The sausage has been traveling with the team in a Ziploc bag shoved into a shoe.
Well, you have to retain its shape. You know?
I bet you that is going to be awfully.
I wonder if they eat, if they have a winning season, if they eat it at the end of the
gross.
Season.
I mean, like you said, James, Rocco said, I'm slightly concerned that the package is going to open up. The thing hasn't been refrigerated in many days, and there's no doubt that when that thing opens up, who's ever touching it is in deep trouble.
Deep trouble. That was my hair. That's so. He He was direct about the fact that he thinks this thing could be toxic, but he didn't want to give up too much information to the general public and the fact that we may have somebody that ends up having to go into some type of detox protection of sorts.
Okay, so here's the thing. Hypothetically speaking, if you were to, you know, probably hang it up or maybe put it in a like a oven at a very low temp and kind of dehydrate it and dry it out, then you might be able to make it so it's not going to get moldy and stinky and smelly.
At the same point, I think it would lose its superpower, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe, but right now you've got a...
This
holds the power because...
Eight wins.
Eight in a row.
Now it's fermenting. It's rotting from the inside.
I don't know. Maybe you know, you take a bite of that thing and you go, woo!
Well, you could have this rotted bag of... I mean, are they taking... They're not taking it out of the bag at all, are they?
I have absolutely no idea at this point. But one thing I'm confident of is the reason that they didn't dehydrate it or something of that sort is to keep the power. Because the reason it has the power is because if that thing ever gets cracked open, it's taking out not only our dugout, but the opposing dugout, and probably the first 10 rows of fans.
They might have to postpone a game because of this thing.
But anybody that's been on a sports team, I mean, you do. You get your little things and you're a little superstitious.
But speaking specifically of summer sausage, I mean, didn't you bring some in or have a listener that brought us summer sausage that gave it to James and myself? We ate it.
Yeah.
That was really good, but at the same time, that seems like the way that's made. Not that it's made like jerky or anything. It seems like that should actually last longer than if you had, say, an uncooked bratwurst or something.
And some of them have those preservatives specifically to be able to not refrigerate until open or anything of that sort. But I think my favorite part is the article Bonnie gave us from the Associated Press out of Chicago. The article starts out by saying, the Minnesota Twins are no stranger to unique home run celebrations. Last season, they introduced the fishing vest and toy fishing pole to the dugout, a nod to the state's 10,000 lakes.
Yep.
This year, it's none other than a Midwest delicacy, the summer sausage, fueling the Twins' now 8-game winning streak.
That's awesome.
I just love the wordplay on that.
That is pretty good.
A Midwest delicacy.
Well, I remember the first time I really got a good look at the fishing vest last year. I'm like, why are they wearing that? Then they turn around and says, the land of 10,000 rakes. You're like, oh, I get it. Everybody's got a home run celebration.
Baseball's glorious.
Days.
Yeah.
It is glorious.
You know what? You got to have fun, too.
Exactly.
Down in Rochester yesterday, I was down. And we went to Shields, Florida Hills, right by where we had lunch. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, a turnover chain for the golfers that they're selling.
Oh, really?
You know, how some of those colleges, they do, like, a turnover chain, and they've got some type of emblem on there.
Mm-hmm.
They have one for golfer fans to buy, and I don't know if they're taking it to Huntington Bank Stadium in Minneapolis or not.
Wearing it.
Or just
probably
wearing them around tailgates or what, but they have them on shelves like a turnover chain. Well, I don't think that's what it's actually called, but that's what I associate those with at this point.
It's probably a big kind of gaudy chain with a big giant, you
exactly.
know,
it's,
M
it's
on
a
it.
Very replicated, you know, type one that's like 25 bucks or something like that, but it's just like, huh, this is catching on everywhere.
There you go.
Everywhere.
Fun stuff. 6:30, we head into the WDAY News Center now with Ty Schoenert.
Bonnie, you were talking about fermented shark earlier, right?
Yeah.
So Iceland, from my understanding, is when people originally got there to live off the land, there wasn't a lot of land to live off of.
There were sharks on the land in Iceland?
As in, like, there was very little things to find.
How is that even possible?
There was very little things to eat there because you couldn't grow things there. It was really difficult to live off of there. So one of the things they did is they went to the water and they got shark. And in order to make it edible, because it was poisonous, they had to coat it with lye and let it sit in a tank for 5 months to let it so it could finally get edible enough so they can survive off of it. This is the place that has puffin catching as the other delicacy they have.
I'm just happy they didn't have sharks on land, because when you started that whole story there, you were going in a different direction.
Anywho, what I'm saying is Iceland wasn't meant to be livable, and here we are with lye-coated shark.
Yeah, but it's funny because Iceland's got more green area than Greenland does.
You're right. A fun little thing, a history of that too. But one of the settlers, I'm trying to remember I don't remember the exact names. A long story short though, people who were living in Iceland or something along those lines changed it so that the name Greenland was the icy place and the name Iceland was the green place. Mm-hmm. So that people would want to settle in Greenland and not go to Iceland. All that fun stuff. Long story short. It was a way to deter.
It's called ironic.
It was a way to deter people from going to that place. Essentially, is what.
That's
it was.
Why we tell everybody up here it's just blizzards all year round.
Yeah, North
keep
Dakota.
Out the riffraff.
Keep out. Yeah.
Keep out the riffraff. All right. News this hour is sponsored by Consolidated Communications. Talk to Consolidated about their cloud secure service. Learn more by going to consolidated.com/cybersecurity. All seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission will participate in a debate hosted by us, WDAY Radio, tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Hallstrom will begin our coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate will be hosted and moderated by Tom Tucker and yours truly from 6 to 8 p.m. Jay, Scott, and Steve will take your calls and emails then afterwards, 8 to 9 p.m. The seven candidates vying for two open seats up for grabs in the June primary. The candidates are incumbents Arlette Preston and John Strand. Challengers include Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Poland. They're all expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, and housing. A Grand Forks teen accused in a deadly stabbing pleading not guilty to murder. Police say 18-year-old Casimir Haskins stabbed 24-year-old Anthony Acosta to death in March during a fight in an apartment complex parking lot. Investigators say the fight was caught on video showing Haskins holding a knife. He's charged with felony murder and faces a maximum sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole. A candidate for Fargo School Board says he wants more information before condemning a decision by the district not to follow a new state law.
Background in law enforcement, I believe in the rule of law. I think laws are put in place for a reason. I don't fully understand why they're not following that law. I would lean on legal counsel to advise on what the district is doing.
That's Fargo Public School Board candidate Jason Nelson. The law would require teachers and staff members to inform parents of a child's want to transition to a different gender. The district has repeatedly stated they will continue to follow federal guidelines instead of a newly passed state law. A pilot recovering after a small plane crash in northwestern Minnesota. Investigators say the single-engine plane crashed early yesterday in Clearbrook, in Clearwater County. The plane may have experienced mechanical failure before the crash. Weather conditions also may have played a factor in this. The pilot was airlifted to Sanford and Fargo for treatment. The FAA is still investigating. And North Dakota Game and Fish now studying walleye tagging at Four Lakes. They want to know how anglers are using the fishery, so they're tagging at Coal Lake in McLean County, Twin Lake in Benson County, Coe Lake in Eddy County, and West Napoleon Lake in Logan County, asking anglers to report any tagged fish they catch by logging onto their website, gf.nd.gov. I'm Ty Schoenert with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's look at our forecast. We have our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, in the Skywatch Weather Center. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Can't see you, Ty. I can't. The fog's so thick. That's why.
The fog, guys.
It is, take it easy. Take it slow. And make sure your headlights are on. I'll be the first to admit, you know, when you have it on auto, mm-hmm. a lot of times it doesn't turn on. So make sure the headlights are on this morning. We've got some thick fog out there in some areas not seeing anything at all, but here in the FM area, yeah, it's thick. And it'll be like this. We'll be in and out of this thick fog through about 8-9 o'clock this morning before that lifts. We'll see limited sunshine after that. Temperatures currently 37 degrees, light winds, and then we're looking at other temperatures around the area. DL's at 40. Ullinure at 38. Wahpeton is at 40. Gardner and Galesburg, you're below the freezing mark at 30. And then Grand Forks, you're at 37. So, yeah, we'll see the fog this morning. Then limited sunshine, then clouds come back. And we'll see some afternoon showers and thunder showers developing. We'll have highs in the upper 50s with an east wind, about 10 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight. That thunder shower activity comes to an end. Could pick up about a quarter to a third of an inch of rain out of that. Then we'll see patchy fog redevelop overnight tonight with lows near 40. And for Wednesday, sunshine returns. It will be a little breezy with west winds at 10 to 25, highs in the upper 60s. Rain comes back into the forecast for Thursday and Friday, with highs in the low to mid 50s. Should dry things out over the weekend, although Saturday, probably not the best of days. It should be dry. An isolated sprinkle can't be ruled out in the Northern Valley, but Sunday looks to be much, much better with highs in the upper 60s. It will turn windy on Sunday with winds picking up out of the south. And then we could pick up an isolated shower or thundershower Sunday night as a warm front moves through. And then that will lead to scattered showers and thundershowers Monday and Tuesday of next week with mild highs back in the 70s.
There you go. Now you're talking.
There we go.
Finally. Yeah. Next week is our Christmas storm on the LRC calendar.
And
that sucker stuck around for about 3 days. So we're in this active LRC cycle pattern here probably through about May 14th before the pattern does start to kind of become a little more progressive and will be a little little drier for our ag community. We'll see some dry days mixed in, but take advantage of the dry days because we are in that active pattern right now.
And May 1st tomorrow. And like you said, I mean, the weather isn't that atypical, like for April, what we normally would see. Normally we'd have snow leading up to the point.
Well, and I was reading on Twitter that in our area, I believe it's our area, it is, 50% of sugar beets are already in the ground. We're opposed to last year where it was 10%.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Way ahead of schedule.
So well ahead of schedule, so that's good news there.
There you go. All right, 701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Charlie, or Charles from Facebook.
Hi, Charles. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Sounds like I really got the conversation going this morning.
Yeah, you did with your fermented shark and your pickled sheep testicles, I think it was. Iceland or where?
Yeah, it's Iceland. It was at the Sons of Norway, and they do a cultural festival every now and then. I stopped there, and that's where I tried them. They also did a lot of caraway, I think it is, the stuff. Caraway coffee was one of them. But there are some other things I've tried that I couldn't think of right away when I first answered the question on Facebook. I've had fox.
Fox.
Didn't know many people.
I'm a trapper, so I decided to try it. It tastes similar to liver, different texture.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And beaver.
Yeah, and I didn't know you could eat that. When we were in middle school, I guess, or junior high school, we had boys that were big hunters and trappers, and I remember them. They would, whatever they would catch, they would bring in, and one year they made beaver. I don't know how they made it because us girls were over in the corner like, what does that taste like?
Beef.
It does, huh?
But a lot tougher, so it's better if you grind it.
Well, good for you, though, for whatever you're harvesting that you're eating, too.
Yep.
The fox is interesting. Now, I wouldn't have thought about eating fox.
I was curious one day. I had finished skinning it, not looking at the skin carcass. I thought, I'm curious what this tastes like. So I just cut off a chunk, fried it up, and ate it.
And that tasted like liver, you said, but not the same texture.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're adventurous, yeah. Charlie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, good for you. And hey,
I got that thanks to my grandmother. She always told me, try a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it anymore.
You never know if you have to honestly try it. Yeah, you never know if you're going
to
like something unless you try it. Well, Charlie, thanks for listening and thanks for calling in this morning. We appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
You bet. Have a great day. It is 6:41. We're going to get you updated here on your national news from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network. And Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Sports.
6:46, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Twins are absolutely dominating their opponents as of the last 8 days.
What? I mean, consider the opponents. Hold on.
It's the lucky sausage.
It's so much sausage.
It's the fact you're playing one of the worst teams in baseball for most of it. Although they did come into last night's game on a 3-game winning streak, so you can't knock the red hot Chicago White Sox at 6-23.
If you would have just not said the record.
I said it yesterday when you were gone because I got to take on the red hot Chicago White Sox at 6-22.
Over the weekend, they doubled their win total the past month, okay? That's just impressive.
There you go.
They swept the Tampa Bay Rays, so I don't know what's going
Tampa's
on.
Tampa's soul-searching currently.
Obviously.
Regardless, a RBI single in the ninth inning for Max Kepler would power the Twins past the White Sox 3-2 last night, winning 8 straight, their longest winning streak since 2011. Minnesota and Chicago continue that 3-game slate with game two tonight at 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson will be on the bump for Minnesota. Onto the ice, the Fargo Force would give up three goals in the third period, fall to Sioux City Musketeers in game two of the Western Conference Finals. Best of five series now tied up at a game apiece as they head to Sioux City.
Believe it or not, James, that was Jaden and my first time seeing them lose a game in regulation all season in the games we've made it to.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just know, even as a fan, just got to relax. It's going to be a long series. Sioux City played really well last night. We'll see what the future brings for the Force and the Musketeers on Thursday and Friday down at Tyson Event Center.
Keeping things on the ice at the NHL playoffs, game four of the Western Conference quarterfinals, a trio of unanswered goals would lead the Dallas Stars past the Vegas Golden Knights 4-2. Series now tied up at two games apiece. And in the East, a four-goal third period would power the Florida Panthers past the Tampa Bay Lightning 6-1 in game five. Panthers win that series 4-1, advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. And tonight, primetime sports from 6:30 to 7. Actually, no, we don't have PTS tonight, do we?
Well, we don't?
No, we don't, because we have the
debate.
We have
the debate.
We have the debate.
We've been bumped by the debate tonight. Yeah, our pre-coverage
starts at 5:30. I'm just glad that we're aware of it.
we're going to spend some time prepping for the show tonight and just come to find out. Yeah, we're not playing.
We'll talk Wolves at some point this week.
Yeah, okay. We will.
Yeah, Fargo City Commission debate, 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WDAY Radio. Tom Tucker's going to moderate, but our pre-coverage begins at 5:30 with Jay Thomas, Scott Hannon, and Steve Hallstrom. So join us for that. They'll be taking your calls and emails, and also after the debate ends from 8 until 9 o'clock tonight, and the seven candidates vying for two seats on the Fargo City Commission will all be participating. It was on this date in entertainment history, this musician paid a bunch of cabbies to block some New York streets so he could trash his hotel room. Find out who it was in Music Flashback. That'll be coming up right around 6:56 this morning. First off, though, straight ahead, we're checking in with the American Ag Network.
Thank you, Jesse. It was on this date this singer started a 3-week run at number one in the U.S. singles chart. It was his third single from their album that featured a distinct guitarist. We'll find out who that was coming up next on Music Flashback. On this date in 1957, Elvis recorded Jailhouse Rock. The song was featured in his third motion picture of the same name. Rolling Stone puts this song at number 67 on its list of 500 greatest songs of all time.
A song is on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list of 500 songs that shaped rock and roll.
Your generation or my generation?
My generation.
Okay. 1976, Keith Moon, drummer for The Who, paid 9 cab drivers to block off both ends of a New York street so he could throw the contents of his hotel room out the window.
Yeah, he was known for trashing hotel rooms and destroying destroying his drum kits on stage. He was wild. He died in 78 after overdosing on a drug that was meant to treat his alcohol withdrawal symptoms, just 32 years old.
Oh, is that still used today, that
I don't know.
1977, Glenn Campbell went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Southern Nights.
Love this song.
In his 50 years in show business, Campbell placed 80 songs on the record charts.
He had 29 top tens, 9 number ones. He died in 2017 of Alzheimer's-related disease. He was 81.
You don't want to see your face. You better disappear. 1983, Michael Jackson started a 3-week run at number one on the U.S. singles charts with Beat It. The third single from Jackson's Thriller album featured Eddie Van Halen on the song's distinctive overdriven guitar solo, but Van Halen's label wouldn't allow him to appear in the music video.
There you go. Thriller became the biggest selling pop album of all time, selling over 50 million copies.
In 2015, soul and R&B singer Benny King died. He was 76. King was a member of the Drifters.
In 1960, they had a number one hit with Save the Last Dance for Me. King also had a big solo hit in 1986 with Stand By Me, which was featured in the movie by the same name.
It's not the only thing he can't wait to do. Having a birthday today, Willie Nelson is 91.
He He's doing great.
Nelson was born in the Great Depression and raised by his grandparents. I did not know that.
Yep, he wrote his first song when he was just 7 years old, joined his first band when he was 10. He's going to be back at Bluestem Amphitheater in Moorhead coming up May 20th and 21st. He was there last year as well. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you too. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we are going to be chatting with the headmaster of Capstone Classical Academy here in Fargo. It opened for students in the fall of 2022, and they're working on expansion. We are WDAY Fargo, 7 o'clock. We head into the WDAY News Center with Ty Schoner.
Thank you, Bonnie, and good morning. News This Hour brought to you by Summit Carbon Solutions. Visit summitcarbonsolutions.com to learn how this project's creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers and strengthening the market for corn growers in North Dakota. All seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission will participate in debate hosted by WDAY Radio tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Hallstrom will begin the coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate moderated by Tom Tucker and yours truly, airing from 6 to 8 p.m. Jay, Scott, and Steve will then take your calls afterwards, 8 to 9 p.m. The seven candidates vying for two open seats up for grabs in the June primary. The candidates include incumbents Arlette Preston and John Strand. Also includes challengers Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Pullen. They're expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, housing, and more. A pilot recovering after a small plane crash in northwestern Minnesota. Investigators say the single-engine plane crashed early yesterday in Clearbrook in Clearwater County. The plane may have experienced mechanical failure before the crash. Weather conditions may have also played a factor in this. The pilot airlifted to Sanford and Fargo for treatment. The FAA is investigating the crash. A candidate for Fargo School Board says he wants more information before condemning a decision by the district not to follow a new state law.
Background in law enforcement, I believe in the rule of law. I think laws are put in place for a reason. I don't fully understand why they're not following that law. I would lean on legal counsel to advise on what the district is doing.
Fargo Public School Board candidate Jason Nelson speaking on the flags. What's on your mind? The law requires teachers and staff members to inform parents of a child's want to transition to a different gender. The district has repeatedly stated they will continue to follow federal guidelines instead of the newly passed state law. Senator Kevin Cramer commenting on his support for the recently passed $95 billion foreign aid bill, most of which being used to support Ukraine in its war with Russia.
The $95 billion that supports the efforts in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, 75% of it stays right here in the United States of America. And a lot of it, but over 60% of it, goes to the U.S. defense industrial base, which is one of the reasons that we are where we are, is because our industrial base, our manufacturing base, we've sort of squandered that away.
Cramer says we have diluted our own ability to ramp up for war. He said he made the comments on the flags. What's on your mind? Prosecutors in Faribault, Minnesota say a Tennessee truck driver is watching Netflix on his phone just before a crash that killed two people last year. 55-year-old Billy Joe Grimes facing multiple charges, including two counts of criminal vehicular homicide. Investigators say Grimes ignored road signs telling drivers to slow down as he approached a construction zone on I-35 near Faribault last August. Grimes' truck going about 70 miles an hour when it crashed into two vehicles, causing the death of an Iowa couple. Grimes denied using his phone before the crash. University of Minnesota being accused of stifling free speech by closing several buildings during ongoing protests on campus. The university announced that a dozen buildings would be closed. Others could begin restricting access to those with an official campus ID. The news coming as students gathered outside Northrop Auditorium to continue protests in support of a ceasefire in Palestine in Gaza. The university's Council of Graduate Students calling the move unacceptable and accused officials of trying to halt the exercise of free speech. And back in North Dakota, the Game and Fish Department now studying walleye tagging at Four Lakes. They want to know how anglers are using the fisheries, also tagging at Coal Lake in McLean County, Twin Lake in Benson County, Coe Lake in Eddy County, and West Napoleon Lake in Logan County, asking anglers to report any tagged fish they find by logging onto their website, a link to which can be found on ours, WDAYRadioNow.com. I'm Ty Schoenert with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's take a look at our forecast. We have our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, in the Skywatch Weather Center. I'd ask how it looks outside, but I can't see much further out.
See much outside. Yeah, we've got some thick fog. Somebody asked me, I got an email, why isn't there a dense fog advisory in effect? It's not widespread enough, although it is becoming a little more widespread. But by the time the advisory got issued, the fog would probably start to lift by 9, 10 o'clock. But just keep in mind, especially along this the 94 corridor, on the North Dakota side, it's thick all the way out to Jamestown. So please be careful. Make sure your headlights are on this morning. If you have them on the auto,
make sure
you turn them on. You have to turn them on. A lot of times it won't sense how bad it is out there. So slow your roll. Leave a little extra time on your commute this morning. You're going to need it. Temperatures in the 30s outside. And again, areas of thick fog north of town going up towards Grand Forks. It's not as bad. And going south towards Wahpeton, not quite as bad. But, you know, you go east and west of the valley here, especially west, it's pretty bad. So we'll burn that fog off by about 10 o'clock this morning, and then we'll see a brief window of sunshine, and then we'll see clouds increase. That will lead to some afternoon, mid to late afternoon showers, and can't even rule out an isolated thunder shower with highs today in the upper 50s. And east winds blowing about 10 to 15. Tonight, the rain comes to an end. Total rainfall about a quarter to a third of an inch across much of the area. Favoring along and north of 94, slightly higher amounts possible in the northern valley. And then we could see some more patchy fog redevelop overnight tonight with lows near 40. Wednesday looks to be nice. After we burn off any morning fog, we'll have highs in the upper 60s with more sunshine on Wednesday and a west wind about 10 to 25. More rain comes back in the forecast, though, for Thursday and Friday, with highs falling back into the 50s.
Oh, well, not too bad then.
We're in a pretty wet pattern. Not great news, but we'll see some drier weather mixed in. The weekend looks drier, so good news for our ag community there.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
The weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time is 7:07. We got to check on your national news. We'll have an update on those red-hot Minnesota Twins with Big Game James. And then we will have our guest, Mr. Paul Fisher, headmaster at Capstone Classical Academy. Time is 7:11. Time for checking the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
A two-run homer from Carlos Santana and a go-ahead RBI single in the ninth inning from Max Kepler would lead the Minnesota Twins past the White Sox in Chicago, 3-2 last night. Twins now having won 8 straight games and have their longest winning streak since the 2011 season. Minnesota-Chicago, they continue their series tonight, first pitch at 6:40. Simeon Woods-Richardson gets the nod for Minnesota. Onto the ice, a trio of third-period goals powering the Sioux City Musketeers past the Fargo Force 4-1 in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals last night. Jake Fisher scoring Fargo's only goal in the loss of that best-of-five series. Now shifts to Sioux City with it tied at a game apiece. And tonight, you have debate coverage beginning at 5:30.
Yeah, pre-debate coverage begins at 5:30 with Jay Thomas, Steve Holstrom, and Scott Hennin. The debate from 6 to 8, and then they'll have post-debate coverage after that from 8 to 9. So, all right, so you boys get primetime sports off tonight, it sounds like.
I guess that's
news. Thanks for the heads up.
Breaking news.
You're welcome. It is 7:12, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. Joining us now is Mr. Paul Fisher, headmaster of Capstone Classical Academy in Fargo. Classical Christian School, open for students in the fall of 2022. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And I know word is starting to spread more and more about Capstone Classical Academy, but we have new listeners all the time. Tell our listeners all about your school or all about you. Can I call it school, academy?
Sure. Yeah, school's fine.
Okay.
We say school all the time. Well, we're a Christian school, private, tuition-based. We use the classical approach to education. So that's just time-tested methods and curriculum, rich content, and big on logic and rhetoric and Latin and those things that you might not find in other schools. But ultimately, we're trying to help young people to learn to follow Christ as they see how he is involved in all of their world.
For your educators, is it different than if they were teaching in a public school setting? The values, I would imagine, that you have to abide by?
Sure. I mean, to become a teacher at the school, you have to be someone who does follow Christ. And part of what you're doing is teaching by your lived example in the classroom. And we're focused on wisdom and virtue as our outcomes. So we need teachers who are excited about imparting wisdom and virtue and not just, you know, knowledge and job training. Mm-hmm. We're looking at human flourishing as the outcome.
And you started out grades K through. Did you start K through 8?
We started pre-K through 6th grade in the fall of 22.
Okay, I thought you had an expansion after that. Okay.
Yeah, we'll just each that group that started in 6th grade in 22 will graduate as seniors from the program. So they're the lead class. We do have one 8th grader in a hybrid class this year. Next year we'll have a full 8th grade.
And your class sizes?
Well, our class sizes run about 20 students. Some are smaller. We're adding second sections. We were full at one section in each grade level, so we're adding second, which is good news for folks who missed the priority application deadline. We're now open for second sections.
And when you say 20 students, I mean, there might be somebody listening in a small community, and they're like, well, yeah, that's, you know, 15 to 20. But when you're talking in a big community, the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo Metro, 20 students in the classroom is not the norm.
Right, yeah, it's a pretty small group. And we have some where it's maybe 13. And then a lot of kids get pulled out to work one-on-one or in small groups if they need help with it.
So the fact that you started here and you'll have kids that'll graduate, you're going to be expanding at some point. I know you've got a new campus being built. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've got a new campus over on 43rd Street South at 64th Avenue South. You can't miss it. It's going to be about 92,000 square feet of instructional space and everything we need for a pre-K through 12 program.
And when will you have students, like students will all move into that space, right? And you'll continue to grow?
Yes. In December, we have an extended Christmas break for moving. So when we come back from the new year, everybody will be in their new digs.
Oh, that fast. Okay.
Yep. It'll be wonderful.
Wow. So I would imagine as you expand and grow, you will continue to be hiring the educators and other positions as well?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, right now we're hiring for second sections of those elementary level classrooms. And we're looking for a director of advancement too to help with some of our fundraising, which has been a real blessing. This community, philanthropy in Fargo-Moorhead is outstanding. Mm-hmm. So we need someone to help work with all those folks in their partnership
There's
with
people
us.
People listening now, and I can hear little ding-dings going off. You know, that might be a great job for somebody. How would somebody apply if they would like to pursue an opportunity there at Capstone Classical Academy?
Sure. Well, you can go on our website and actually go to the careers menu. The nice thing is we have some teacher staff information nights coming up. So if you just want to know what it's like, low risk, no application in, to just learn about working at the school, you can look for those on our Facebook account, and you'll see those there and on our website.
Mm-hmm. And I did check out your website too this morning as I was doing a little research, and you also have some testimonial from students or parents of students. And that's
sure.
Great if somebody's looking for an opportunity for their students, listen to those testimonials, and you might be like, this is where my children need to be.
That's right. Yeah, and admissions is in full swing. We had an information meeting last night. May 13th is another one at 6:30 at the school. And those are, you just come and you get to hear a presentation and have some Q&A with me and with a couple other staff who will usually be in attendance. So that's a good low-risk way to just kind of blend in and not have to make an admissions appointment. But we will always do one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make those online, too, on the admissions page.
And what's your address for that meeting coming up?
Well, that one's at 2506 35th Avenue South.
Because you kind of have two locations?
We have two, yeah. They're a half mile apart on 25th Street South. And so the one is on the corner of 40th and 25th. Most people know that one. And then we have a small one beside Northview Church that has our older students. And then we'll have a third campus in the fall until we get into the new building in January.
But everybody will be housed under one roof at some point.
That's right. Next January.
So I think for the most part, I mean, I've been here over 30 years, but having a classical academy, an alternative different type of school, is new to this area. I don't think we've ever had anything like this. Was it hard for you on the front end to sell this to the public?
No. I think part of it might be the affiliation with Hillsdale College. You know, we're a Hillsdale member school, so we work with their faculty in curriculum and instruction and teacher training. There's a well-known reputation there and a trusted resource. So I think that helped some. Our board was all local people, you know, who've been here for their lives and contributed in this community. So I think when people saw that model, everything that's happened since 2020, people have become concerned about changes in the schools. And the classical model reminds people of what the values, or at least what they perceive the values and approach maybe used to be in schools. So there's a real awakening across the country. We call it the classical renewal, but there's over 1,000 schools like us in the country now.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota was just late getting
like coming. Yeah, well, because Minnesota had a lot of different academies and stuff over the years, and I didn't think we had anything here. Oftentimes, too, in the public school settings, we'll hear from teachers or hear from parents who are just fed up with behavioral issues and other things going on that they don't agree with inside the schools, disruptive students. Do you deal with that much at all? Are you guys seeing any of that at Capstone Classical Academy?
No, you know, part of it is being selective in admissions. We're looking for parents who will partner well with us, who have a handle on their own children, and are sharing in our values and for wisdom and virtue being the outcome we're looking for. So they want decorum, and we work toward decorum in the building, and the students have a shared desire for that. We have rascals, for sure. There's knuckleheads doing things they shouldn't do every day.
Well, kids will be kids. You're always going to have something here and there.
The question is, can they respond humbly to shepherding from the adults in the building? And will the parents support the school? And the answer is yes for Capstone. So I think it's a very different atmosphere, different culture.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the high school then, because right now, according to the website, you service kids through eighth grade. And so obviously the high school is the next phase of this Capstone Classical Academy. What is the timetable for that high school then? And then also when you get that high school built, will you be offering extracurricular activities for the students? Will there be student athletes, or will you guys partner with another local school, like a co-op with Shanley or something
right.
like that?
Well, we have, you know, the building we're building that'll be open in January is a K-12 building, mm-hmm. pre-K through 12 really. So that'll fit us for 540 kids, including mm-hmm. about 40 students per high school class.
Okay.
We have NDHSA sports now mm-hmm. At the junior high level. And we do not co-op with anyone, but we currently offer track and cross country and basketball and volleyball. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be adding to that. We've got about an 8-year sports strategic plan. But the fine arts are really taking off.
Yeah.
Our band and choir and theater programs are outstanding, particularly for a second year school. But I would put them up against, honestly, if I can humbly say, any school in the area.
Wow.
We just have outstanding instructors there.
Beyond obviously getting the high school, the K-12 building built, are there other future plans for Capstone Classical Academy here in the metro area? Are you thinking about a long-term goal, you know, not just within the 8-year, you know, high school athletics plan? Is there something more long-term where you'd like to have a couple campuses in the metro area, or are there any other plans along those lines?
Sure. Yeah, our board talks about making sure that we don't get bored at some point. once we've achieved what we want to with K-12, what will we do? And so we dream about potentially another Capstone, another K-12 in the region. We also think about, you know, what do we need in higher ed in this community that's lacking? Mm-hmm. Some other alternatives there. Those are things we think about.
Right.
They're not strategic plans. But there is a phase 2 capital campaign that'll be around the corner. Mm-hmm. We've about finished the first $55 million to build this campus and launch the school. And then we've got to put in our performing arts center and our refectory and a varsity athletic complex. So. Mm-hmm. There's things coming around the corner even for the K-12.
Interesting.
So just after a couple of years, the growth and the success you're seeing, it sounds incredible, and you'll continue that growth over the next 5, 10 years and beyond.
Yep, God willing. We're totally dependent on His will.
Yeah, well, keep up the great work. It sounds like you guys are doing awesome things. I hear from people who have their children there, and they are loving it. CapstoneClassical.com, best way to find some more information?
Well, definitely the website, CapstoneClassical.com, and then you can go to the Facebook account. That's a great place to see us at work.
Very good. Paul, nice meeting you. Thanks for coming in studio.
Yep, you bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Paul Fisher, headmaster of Capstone Classical Academy, joining us here on Bonnie and Friends. Are those fruit flies we're seeing flying around?
I don't know. You made cookies. They're awfully sweet, Bonnie. I don't know what
Maybe
that is.
Maybe that's it. Bridget's going to let us know. Fruit fly detection coming up next.
7:24, time to check in down on the farm with one and only Miss Bridget Riedel. How you doing, Bridget?
Fabulous. How are you guys this morning?
Good. We're trying to make sure we tracked you down because it's not till tomorrow you're on the road. So you're still at the home office today, correct?
For the moment, but as soon as I'm done, giddy up, let's roll.
All right.
No, I like it.
So everybody, I think, especially up here, I mean, we buy fruit, maybe even some other things besides fruit, maybe some vegetables or something else, and we see these tiny little fruit flies buzzing around. You know, can you tell us what causes them? How do we get rid of them? What more about those can you help us with?
Even more importantly, they're not just the ones that bother you and are annoying in the house. Think about the fact that fruit flies do damage throughout many crops in the U.S. It's fruits, nuts, vegetables, and berries. They're very invasive. What they will do is lay their eggs under the skin of the produce. There, the larvae will emerge, and that makes the fruit and vegetables unfit for human consumption. So it might not look damaged on the outside, but you'll have that brown mottled appearance from the inside. And so there's really a push to combat that within USDA. So they have authorized one of the divisions, which is called APHIS, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, to go ahead and spend roughly $103 million from the Commodity Credit Corporation Fund to look for fruit fly detection and prevention in all of these areas. I did not know this. There are actually 8 counties in California and 5 in New York that have exotic fruit fly quarantines. I don't know if that means there's tiny handcuffs involved, but so far they're trying to keep them in places.
That's erotic, not exotic.
Oh.
Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie's really stepping out this morning.
I know.
It's been an interesting show so far, Bridget. We've been all over the place.
Well, this sounds like the Weather and Ag and Focus folks drinking liquor on a Friday with North Dakota Sweet Crude. Things got a little rough. Okay, so nonetheless, the fruit flies, we're going to see if we can't prevent them from happening more and more often. So that's one thing. Today's all about bugs, you might say. Additionally, in Minnesota and South Dakota, the soybean gall midge. That midge had the gall to get into my soybeans. And right now, we are looking for that pest to prevent it from coming into North Dakota. What's the gall midge? Well, it actually is if you were looking at your soybean plant, you'd see these little bumps, or they look like growths off the side of your stem. That would be at soil surface height. And there is a little gall in there that goes through 4 very distinct life cycles. It has eggs, larvae, pupa, and the adult stage, and they will go ahead and cause damage to the stalk that prevents that soybean plant from coming to yield. You can find them by looking for little orange-bodied adults. They tend to stand out like that single redhead in the crowd right now. You have that orange little pest that's hanging out in your field. That's not the only inappropriate thing I've got to say today. I'm sure it'll get worse. Thanks for prompting me there, Jason.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Yeah. Okay. So the gall midge, again, they're going to feed just above the soil line. They split that stems, and it makes it very tough for the plant to survive and go to yield. So Minnesota and South Dakota found them. We haven't yet in North Dakota, and we have many researchers who are working to try to find a way to keep them from being a problem. So just a few things going on in that realm. Mm-hmm. All of you over in Minnesota, by the way, you can also get into the Cover Crop Academy. There's limited seating available. Must register by June 1st. It'll be held in 3 different locations, Lamberton, Waseca, but Crookston's closest to us. And this is a statewide course for those of you who work with farmers, such as crop consultants, agency personnel, agronomists, and for you to learn more about cover crops and how to incorporate them into a farming practice system. So just a few little things for people to be doing, and that's one of them, keeping an eye out for bugs and joining the Cover Crop Academy.
There you go. Everybody's got to have goals, right?
That's exactly right. Okay, so don't forget, one of those goals should be, if you're looking at a career change, check out mortonbuildings.com/careers. Go ahead and check them out. They are a 100% employee-owned company. Chance of upward mobility, but on-the-job training is offered as well. And you have a shot at not only earning quarterly bonuses, they have great pay on days with bad weather, and you may win a trip to places like Jamaica and more. Check them out, mortonbuildings.com/careers. So many things going on in ag. I'll be doing some of them out in Montana. But before I get there this afternoon on Weather and Ag in Focus, we will have Greg Steeman with us with Starion Bank. It'll be the Farm Finance Insider segment that he'll join us today on Weather and Ag in Focus between 1 and 2 o'clock.
And all if right. people want to get a hold of you?
You can. I'll be watching for those emails, ag@flagfamily.com, or you can find me on X at BM Riedel.
All right. Thank you, Bridget.
Everybody have a fabulous day. Try to clean it up over there.
We'll try. We'll all see right. you later, Bridget. Thanks. And she'll be coming to us live from Montana tomorrow.
That was her today. No, that was her.
Oh, Bridget crossed the line.
Yeah, she's just all over the place.
Okay, good. We'll throw Bridget under the bus.
Yeah, she can't respond anymore.
There you go. All right, 7:30, time now to head into the WDAY News Center with Ty Schoenert.
If I don't remember this, remind me to talk about raining gold in Antarctica. Remind me if I don't get to talk about it, okay?
I'll tell you about
that. Sounds exciting. We'll remind you.
Yeah. Thanks. All seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission will participate in a debate hosted by WDAY Radio tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennen, and Steve Holmstrom, they begin the coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate will be moderated by Tom Tucker and yours truly, airing at 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. Jay, Scott, and Steve will also take your calls and emails 8 to 9 p.m. Seven candidates vying for two open seats up for grabs in the June primary. Incumbents Arlette Preston and John Stratton among the candidates. Challengers Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Pullen are the contenders, expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics that includes the city budget, public safety, homelessness, and more. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson will soon be recognized as one of the top 10 places officers in the U.S. He'll be receiving a top award from the National Association of Police Organizations. Robinson credited with stopping a would-be mass shooting in Fargo last July when the suspect opened fire on several police officers, killing Officer Jake Moline and wounding two others, along with a civilian. The award ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 12th. A Grand Forks man accused of multiple crimes stemming from a car chase that happened earlier this year, pleading not guilty. Justin Peterson accused of leading police on a pursuit in March after an officer smelled marijuana in his vehicle during a traffic stop. Peterson crashed into a telephone pole and a laundromat and was arrested after he fled on foot and fell into the Red River, according to authorities. Police say they found about 180 grams of meth and nearly 37 grams of marijuana in Peterson's backpack. He faces several fleeing and drug-related charges. Senator Kevin Cramer commenting on his support for the recently passed $95 billion foreign aid bill, most of which being used to support Ukraine with its war in Russia.
The $95 billion that supports the efforts in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, 75% of it stays right here in the United States of America. And a lot of it, but over 60% of it, goes to the U.S. defense industrial base, which is one of the reasons that we are where we are is because our industrial base, our manufacturing base, we've sort of squandered that away.
Cramer says we have diluted our own ability to ramp up for the war in Ukraine at this time. Prosecutors in Faribault, Minnesota, say a Tennessee trucker was watching Netflix on his phone just before a crash that killed two people last year. 55-year-old Billy Joe Grimes facing multiple charges that includes two counts of criminal vehicular homicide. Investigators say Grimes ignored road signs, telling drivers to slow down as he approached a construction zone I-35 near Faribault last August. Grimes' truck going about 70 miles an hour when it crashed into two vehicles, causing the death of an Iowa couple. Grimes has denied using his phone before the crash. University of Minnesota is accused of stifling free speech by closing several buildings during ongoing protests on campus. The university announcing yesterday a dozen buildings would be closed, others could begin restricting access to those with official campus IDs only. The news came as students gathered outside Northrop Auditorium to continue protests in support of a ceasefire in Gaza. The university's Council of Graduate Students calling the move unacceptable and accused officials of trying to halt the exercise of free speech. North Dakota Game and Fish, they're now studying walleye tagging at Four Lakes. They want to know how anglers are using the fisheries, also tagging at Coal Lake in McLean County, Twin Lake in Benson County, Code Lake in Eddy, and West Napoleon Lake in Logan. Asking anglers to report any tagged fish they catch by logging onto their website. You'd find that by going to ours, WDAYradionow.com. And approximately $6,000 worth of gold a day is raining from the sky in Antarctica due to an eruption of Mount Erebus. 80 grams of gold a day spewing into the air from one of the world's most active volcanoes. The gold is found in the volcano's gas and steam emissions, which have been found as far away as 621 miles from the eruption site. The activity due to a thin slice of crust the volcano sits on has been constantly active since roughly 1972. I'm Ty Schoenert with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's look at our forecast. We have our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki. He informed me there was gold in them hills, talking about the 6,000 gold a day, dollars of gold a day, going into Antarctica skies.
That's awesome, man. I mean, well, and there's no life, well, no life, I should say. There's no They do research on Antarctica, but it's not like you can travel there and mine the gold or get the gold.
So not much tourism opportunities out there.
There's none.
So you're saying that's where the leprechauns live.
Yeah, basically.
And Sasquatch and UFOs and whatever else.
They're
not
going to
get my lucky pot of gold. Right, exactly. Wow. Oh, we got some thick fog throughout the area. Visibility at Hector down to about 2 blocks. Jay just came in from West Fargo. Said it wasn't bad until you hit about 45th. Then it goes from fine to zero. So very invisibility throughout the area. But please keep that in mind. It's pretty thick right now in the FM area. Make sure your headlights are on. If they're on auto, like mine are, you're going to have to manually turn those babies on. A lot of times it won't turn on.
Depending on your vehicle.
Yeah. You know. So make sure the headlights are on when it's this foggy out. This fog should lift by between 9 and 10 o'clock. We should start to see improvement. And then we'll see a brief window of sunshine, and then we'll see clouds increase, leading to more showers, maybe even an embedded thunder shower as we head into the late afternoon. Highs today in the upper 50s with an east wind at 10 to 15. That rain comes to an end tonight. We'll then turn partly cloudy and see some more patchy fog, lows near 40. Wednesday, pick day of the week, with sunshine, a west breeze at 10 to 20, highs in the upper 60s. I'm sure some spots will touch 70 tomorrow. And then more rain comes back into the forecast for Thursday and Friday, with highs dropping back into the 50s. So we're in that kind of active LRC part of the cycle, and we'll see numerous chances of rain over the next 10 to 14 days. Which is, you know, that's all right. I mean, you know, I know the farmers are probably like, all right, we want it a little drier so we can get out in the fields now.
And the home gardeners, we want to get planting.
Yep, exactly. But we're kind of in that active pattern. We'll see a day or two of dry weather, then back into the rain. So take advantage of the day or two of dry weather when it does occur.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jay Filippo of Fargo, locally owned and operated for over 40 years with 3 Fargo locations. And you never need an appointment. Jay Filippo Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy.
Coming up at 8:10 this morning, we're going to be chatting with a couple of ladies. They belong to Women in the Wind, a group of motorcycle enthusiasts, and they're holding a big fundraiser this Saturday. We'll tell you where you can get details on that and what they are raising money for. That coming up about 8:10 this morning. Don't forget, this Thursday, we kick off our Lawn and Garden Talk at 7:10 each and every Thursday here on Bonnie and Friends. We will be joined by Cass County Extension horticulturist Don Kinsler. He'll start our first week, and he will rotate with Jillian Patry, who's the new Clay County Extension educator, and they'll be rotating weeks here, providing their expertise, and you can call in with questions, anything related to your lawn, gardens, and trees. Both of them very well-versed on problems that can arise here, and they can answer your questions. If you are looking for a place to host your next event, check out Reed's Event Space at Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar in Moorhead. Let them host your next party, reunion, or corporate gathering. They feature an exquisite Mediterranean cuisine, local ingredients, fresh handmade pasta, and they offer gluten-free options.
Casual or formal, Reed's Event Center offers a unique and sophisticated dining experience. Chef and owner Christine is all about healthy eating, and you know she knows that you guys got busy schedules, so she offers fresh home-cooked meals to go for pickup in their stores, seasoned with their own oils and vinegars. Reese's meals even help curb cravings without compromising your time or your healthy regime. So if you want to book your next party or even want to stop by and get something to eat there, obviously you can swing by their location, which is 935 37th Avenue South, Suite 120 in Moorhead. Or if you want to find out more, give them a call, 218-303-1279, or you can visit them online at reeseandrileys.com.
7:39, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee.
7:43, time for a check on the local sports scene with sports guy Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Twins with their longest winning streak since 2011. It's now at 8 games after a 3-2 edging of the Chicago White Sox last night. Carlos Santana had a 2-run homer. Max Kepler drove in the go-ahead and eventual game-winning run in the top of the ninth inning. Twins, White Sox again at 6:40 tonight. Simeon Woods Richardson on the bump for Minnesota. As for the Fargo Force, they would give up 3 goals in the third period to fall to the Sioux City Musketeers 4-1 in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals last night. Jake Fisher scored Fargo's only goal. That best-of-5 series now knotted up at a game apiece. And in the NBA playoffs, you had in the Western Conference quarterfinals, game number four of the Oklahoma City and New Orleans Pelicans series, the Thunder completing the sweep 97-89. And then you have OKC. They'll take on the winner of the Clippers-Mavericks series in the Western Conference semis. And the Denver Nuggets sneaking by the LA Lakers 108-106 to win that series 4-1. Jamal Murray had 32 points. And now Denver battles the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference semifinals. That series begins Saturday in Denver. And in the Eastern Conference, you have the Boston Celtics defeat the Miami Heat 102-88. Derek White had 38 points for the Celtics. That series is now 3-1 in favor of Boston. And the NHL playoffs last night, Western Conference quarterfinals, game four, a trio of unanswered goals. Dallas would take down Vegas with that 4-2. That series now knotted up at 2 games apiece. And there was one game in the East with a 4-goal third period powering the Florida Panthers past the Tampa Bay Lightning 6-1. The Panthers winning that series 4-1 and punching their ticket to the conference semifinals in the Eastern Conference.
All right, thank you, James. It is now 7:44. Time for a quick break, and we come back. Your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. 7:45. Time for your 3-degree guarantee, brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Yesterday, Dean forecasted a high of 46.
That's right.
Good golfing weather yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Best weather ever.
A patchy drizzle in 40s. That's perfect.
How did we do?
We hit 48. So
all right,
slid
that's a win.
In there. Slid in there. Good.
All right, that's four in a row.
Yep. Today we're gonna go with 58. 5-8. A lot of dense fog in the FM area here this morning. Should start to lift here by 9 o'clock or so. And then we'll see increasing clouds and then some late afternoon showers and maybe even a bit of thunder shower with east winds at 10 to 15. Again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 58.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store, 746. By the way, our sales team is looking to hire a sales coordinator if that is something that you would be interested in. 30 hours a week, flexible hours. It's great if you, you know, maybe your kids are in school and you looking for something to do part of the day or whatever your situation is. A position will offer a little bit of everything. No, you won't be on the air with us. But we'll try to be nice to you. No, we will be nice to you.
What if I'm someone just... really, really wants to be on air with us?
Well, then they
that's
can
like
be
a... That's like a really, really their, a big dream.
They could work their way in here, but you'll be assisting our sales reps, making sure everything falls in place after a sale. If that's something that you think you might be interested in, shoot us an email at jobs@flagfamily.com. Another dum-dum at Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, geez.
We'll talk about that coming up next.
Okay, so I admit this song is not quite... the right vibe for a story in
that's okay.
What, Wyoming?
Mm. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. You should have played that. That's kind of slow. Yeah, another.
I could have played Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar.
dummy, drunk. Decided to kick a bison in the leg. Like, what is wrong with
wait,
you?
Wait. What part of that seems like a good idea? Even if you're just completely hammered. I'm going to walk up to a buffalo and kick it?
Kick it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things are not to be played with. I mean,
this guy should know better. I mean, sometimes you'll get tourists that come from way out of the range or they're coming from other countries. So you still should know, you know, yeah. They warn you about stay away. They're wild animals. You just never know. And you always see tourists getting close and taking selfies. This guy's from Idaho. Like, you should be well aware of a bison and the danger they can pose. But, yeah, apparently he was camping there with some friends. 40-year-old guy, Clarence Yoder's his name, from Idaho Falls, approached a bison in Yellowstone National Park, decided to give it a kick. The bison decided to kick him back or charge after him. He got hurt. He's fine. He's fine. But... he did lose.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing a number of charges, including, which I didn't know this was
a felony?
Well,
misdemeanor, probably.
Some of them might be felonies. Being under the influence of alcohol to a degree that may endanger oneself.
So, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go and kick that bison.
Yeah, he did. Apparently. Disorderly conduct as to create or maintain a hazardous condition, approaching wildlife, disturbing wildlife. And I know those are charges, but interesting.
Idiot.
I wonder what his buddy, 37-year-old McKenna Bass, was with him, also of Idaho Falls. His buddy was with, he only got cited for DUI.
Yeah.
Interfering with failure to yield to emergency light activation, and disturbing wildlife. So he's got a number of charges there, too. I would say at least one of his is probably a felony there. Not real bright. Nope. You did it yourself.
You did it all on your own, buddy.
Oh, people are so dumb. You have to have a healthy respect for any wild animal out there. Yeah, they're beautiful, but pay attention and don't get so schnockered you're stupid. That's all I got.
Oh, I don't even
have anything to add to that. Just not real smart.
No, I mean, I don't know why you would want to even get that close anyway. I mean, heck, if you've even been on, like, you know, my uncle's dairy farm, going back to that, right?
Yeah.
Being around the cows was one thing, because especially when it was time for them to be milked, that you open up the barn door, they come walking in, they go to their stalls because that's when they're going to get fed. But there was this one pen, Bonnie, this one pen that had a bull in it. I'm not going anywhere near that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little bit ornery, and you don't really want to mess with a bull, but you're going to go mess with a giant, like, two-ton bison out there?
And if you watch their behavior, you'll see them charging after other bison, you know? They get in tussles and fights
or
whatever.
They protect their turf, you know, et cetera.
They're stomping and charging, and it's just like, and you've not seen them on National Geographic or any TV in your 40-year lifetime that you're that dumb.
I mean, obviously, they're very dumb.
I'm glad the bison kicked him back or charged him or whatever.
Well, exactly, because like maybe now you'll learn. Be like, you shouldn't do that.
So dumb. Oh, and this is super cool. Hats off. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson is going to receive an award from the National Association of Police Organizations coming up in Washington, D.C. On Sunday, May 12th, he's going to be named one of the top 10 top cops. Super cool.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for him, he took out the shooter, Mohammed Barakat, during the tragic officer-involved shooting here in Fargo in July. And if it wasn't for him, we could have had many more lives lost. So pretty cool that they're going to recognize him on a national front.
The idea of what could have happened, especially if the the shooter, I don't like to use his name because of what he did, obviously, Bonnie, but if that shooter would have been able to get down to the street fair downtown Fargo and been able to set up whatever he had planned on setting up, that could have been really bad. And it's bad enough that we lost Officer Willeen. And, you know, to some extent, if Officer Willeen was, you know, a half a second faster, I mean, he might have been prevented that from happening, and everybody would have been able to go home, because as a police officer, your goal is to go home at the end of the day to your family and obviously to protect others. But Officer Robinson was there and did what needed to be done. Three of his co-workers, his fellow officers, were, you know, either killed or injured. He was able to put a stop to the threat, which obviously saved, like you said, countless lives here in town. And it's still hard to imagine that that was not even quite a year ago that that happened.
I know. So, yeah, especially, July 14th.
And especially here in a community that a lot of times, you know, I feel so much more confident and comfortable in a place of this size as opposed to being in, you know, a town of a million people, or, you know, even out on the West Coast when I was in Northern California and other places like that. So just tragic, but obviously congratulations to Officer Robinson, and a very well-deserved award for him.
Nominated by the North Dakota Fraternal Order of Police, and he is the first person from North Dakota to receive the recognition. So officially will be recognized coming up on Sunday, May 12th. And thanks to Officer Robinson and all you officers out there for the jobs that you do, all of our public safety personnel as well, and what you do to keep our community safe. Streaming service has announced a price hike. Just one of the stories we will cover in your Money and Markets coming up next. 7:58, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed higher to start the week. Tesla shares gained about 15% after the electric vehicle company cleared a key hurdle to rolling out its self-driving technology in China. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 146 points, S&P 500 rose 16, and the NASDAQ climbed 55 points.
Elon Musk is stuck with the terms of an agreement he reached with SEC, requiring a lawyer to review his post to social media about Tesla. He's been fighting the deal, saying it's unconstitutional, but the U.S. Supreme Court is refusing to take up the challenge. The so-called Twitter sitter provision came back in 2018 when Musk was trying to take Tesla private. Feds say his tweets at the time were materially false and misleading, which violated securities law.
Twitter sitter, so he needs a babysitter.
Yeah.
That's funny. NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service. If you have Peacock, you can expect to pay more.
Every streaming service goes up every single
but
year.
But it's time just before the Summer Olympics.
Oh, how about that?
Gonna make some money off you.
You want to watch that, third place racquetball contest or the squash match? You're gonna
or
have to
the
extra.
Breakdancing. Remember we talked about a couple weeks back.
Can't wait for the preliminary rounds of that.
Which that's weird. Monthly subscription fee for Peacock Premium will jump $2 to $7.99 starting July 18th for new subscribers. Meanwhile, the price for the mostly ad-free Peacock Premium Plus will go up to $13.99 a month.
Jeez.
New prices will go into effect for existing subscribers in August. Coming up in a couple of minutes, about 10 minutes here, we're going to chat with some ladies who belong to Women in the Wind, a motorcycle group, and they're having a big fundraiser on Saturday. We'll get all the details on that in about 10 minutes. We are WDAY Fargo, 8 o'clock. We head into the WDAY News Center with Ty Schoenert.
Thank you, Bonnie, and good morning. Seven candidates running for Fargo City Commission will all be participating in a debate hosted by us, WDAY Radio, tonight. Jay Thomas, Scott Hennin, and Steve Hallstrom begin the coverage at 5:30 p.m. The debate will be moderated by Tom Tucker and, yours truly, 6 to 8 p.m. Jay, Scott, and Steve will then take your calls and emails from 8 to 9 p.m. The seven candidates are vying for two open seats that are up for grabs in the June primary. The candidates are incumbents Arlette Preston and John Strand, and challengers Delson Santal, Al Carlson, Anna Johnson, Michelle Turnberg, and Nate Pullen. They're all expected to weigh in on a wide range of topics, including the city budget, public safety, homelessness, housing, and more. Fargo Police Officer Zach Robinson will soon be recognized as one of the 10 police officers in the U.S. He'll be receiving a top award from the National Association of Police Organizations. Robinson credited with stopping a would-be mass shooting in Fargo last July when the suspect opened fire on several police officers, killing Officer Jake Wallin and wounding two others, along with a civilian. The award ceremony will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 12th. A candidate for Fargo School Board says he wants more information before condemning a decision by the district to not follow a new state law.
Background in law enforcement, I believe in the rule of law. I think laws are put in place for a reason. I don't fully understand why they're not following that law. I would lean on legal counsel to advise on what the district is doing.
Fargo Public School Board candidate Jason Nelson. The law requires teachers and staff members to inform parents of a child's want to transition to a different gender. The district has repeatedly stated they will continue to follow federal guidelines instead of the newly passed state law. A pilot recovering after a small plane crash in northwestern Minnesota. Investigators say the single-engine plane crashed early yesterday in Clearbrook in Clearwater County. The plane may have experienced a mechanical failure before the crash, according to investigators. Weather conditions may have also been a factor. The pilot was airlifted to Sanford and Fargo for treatment. The FAA is investigating the crash. Senator Kevin Cramer commenting on his support for the recently passed $95 billion foreign aid bill, which most of it's being used to support Ukraine in its war with Russia.
The $95 billion that supports the efforts in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, 75% of it stays right here in the United States of America. And a lot of it, but over 60% of it, goes to the U.S. defense industrial base, which is one of the reasons that we are where we are is because our industrial base, our manufacturing base, we've sort of squandered that away.
Cramer says we have diluted our own ability to ramp up for war. Prosecutors in Faribault, Minnesota say a Tennessee trucker was watching Netflix on his phone just before a crash that killed two people last year. 55-year-old Billy Joe Grimes facing multiple charges, including two counts of criminal vehicular homicide. Investigators say Grimes ignored road signs, telling drivers to slow down as he approached a construction zone on I-35 near Faribault last August. Grimes' truck going about 70 miles an hour when it crashed into two vehicles, causing the death of an Iowa couple. Grimes has denied using his phone before the crash. And the city of Grand Forks and the Grand Forks Airport are urging residents to respond to a survey they're conducting online. The airport considering expanding, which
which would include adding destinations, the number of flights, and new commercial service. Officials say getting feedback from residents and businesses is essential in this. Business travel has been targeted as a key area for improvement. I'm Ty Schoner with WDAY and WDAYRadioNow.com. Let's check out our forecast. We have our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, in the Skywatch Weather Center. Dean, look at the tri-level for a second, because all the fog over here seems to lift, but it's just a wall over there.
Yeah, there's the fog is trying to lift right now, but still some pockets of heavy fog throughout the FM area. So you'll kind of be in and out of that on your morning commute. Leave a little extra time, and this should start to burn off here within the next hour or so. So that's good news there. Then we'll see a brief window of sunshine, and then we'll see clouds increase, and we'll see showers, maybe even an embedded thundershower by mid-afternoon. We'll have highs today in the upper 50s with east winds of 10 to 15. Showers will come to an end overnight. Then we'll turn partly cloudy with more patchy fog possible. Lows around 40, and the sunshine returns for Wednesday. A little breezy out of the west with highs in the upper 60s. And then clouds come back in the forecast for Thursday and Friday with scattered showers and highs falling back into the 50s. Right now, the weekend looks split. Saturday, I don't think we're going to see much precip on Saturday, but kind of breezy and chilly with the mid-50s. And then Sunday, much better. Sunshine and breezy with highs in the upper 60s. So the weekend split. Really nice tomorrow, and then back into more rain. We're in a pretty active pattern. It's going to be like this through about the 14th of May, so a couple weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah, May starts tomorrow already, man.
You better go talk to Janae about your May Day basket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll get right on that.
Thank you, Dino.
All right, you got it.
The weather's been brought to you by Red Wing Shoes, which now carries Apex brand, the pinnacle of sustainability, style, and safety. Great for heel pain, diabetic feet, neuropathy, and more. Stop into Red Wing Shoes at 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo or check them out online at redwingshoes.com.
Whether it's on the farm or around the fleet, your service truck can be the lifeblood of your farm. If you're a diesel truck, service truck is not running like it used to, then you're going to want to talk to the team at ATI in Fargo. If you have a 2011 to 2023 6.7 Power Stroke that needs a little love, well, ATI Fargo is the place to take it. From turbo failures to oil leaks to solid solutions for your emissions issues, ATI Fargo grew up with these engines. They know them inside and out, and they have a 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty on all new parts. Check them out. That's ATI Fargo. It is 8:06. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to be chatting with Penny and Kathy from Women in the Wind. They've got a big fundraiser coming up this weekend. You're going to want to get all the details on that. First of all, your national news from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty slides in with your WDAY Sports.
8:10, time for a quick check on sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Twins headed to Chicago to edge the White Sox 3-2 last night on Carlos Santana's two-run homer and Max Kepler driving in the go-ahead and eventual game-winning run in the top of the ninth inning. Twins now have their longest winning streak since 2011 at 8 games. Minnesota and Chicago continue their series here tonight with first pitch at 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson will be on the bump for Minnesota. And the Fargo Force had given up a trio of third-period goals to fall to the Sioux City Musketeers in Fargo last night, 4-1 in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Jake Fisher scored the Force's only goal in the loss. That best-of-five series will now shift to Sioux City, with it knotted up at a game apiece.
All right. Thank you, James. Oh. Awesome. I clicked the wrong button. I had a song picked out and everything, Bonnie.
It's 6 o'clock already?
No.
Is it 10 o'clock already? What time is it? Already.
It's going to be this one.
Oh, you switched?
Yeah, because I clicked the fast forward instead of the play button.
Penny's liking that. Good morning to you, 8:11, Bonnie and friends. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We've got a couple of ladies in studio with us, Penny and Kathy. They are with Women in the Wind in the Red River Valley. You ladies are bikers, huh?
Absolutely.
We are.
How long have each of you, Kathy, how long have you been riding motorcycle?
Since I was 19, and I don't know if I want to tell my age now. But.
Well, I can do the math if you tell me how long.
He's looking for trouble. She's about my age. Penny, how long have you...
never. 3 decades worth, I bet?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. There you go. Penny, how long have you been riding?
Well, growing up on a farm in central North Dakota, I've ridden dirt bikes, mini bikes, my brother's motorcycle when he wasn't home. So I've been riding for many years, but legally about 15.
15.
Okay.
Was it like hard for you ladies to find other women to join a club and find others that ride? Because I hear from other women like, I would go riding, but I don't have anybody to ride with.
And that was a key to the organization of our chapter. Our president, Becky, she had been down in Arizona for the winter with her motorcycle and ran into some ladies down there who are actually part of Women in the Wind. And so she rode with them and they said, when you get back up to Minnesota, why don't you start your own chapter? And so she had lady friends up here that she would ride with. And that's how it all started about 10 years ago. And, you know, our group can have anywhere from 15 to 20 women. And I know there's a lot more women riders out there.
And do you have to be a rider or can you ride on the back of your husbands or boyfriends to be part of this group?
You can be a passenger. So each chapter will allow for 2 passengers to be a member, but we do prefer to have women riding their own motorcycles.
Is there any teaching involved? Like, are you ladies willing to teach other ladies how to ride bike if they don't know how or give them some pointers?
We are affiliated, actually, with Abate of North Dakota, and they have many classes, beginners, intermediate, that we always turn the women to get their training.
Okay, we are having Lonnie Birch from Abate on our show coming up on Thursday talking about motorcycle safety classes. So that's good to know that you're affiliated and work with them because, I mean, that's the way to do it safely is to learn from the experts and go on those closed courses before you take a bike out on the big road. So when you guys ride, like how often are you riding and how far do you go?
As soon as the ice is off the roads, the sand is swept up, there's bikes out, you know, pretty much from April until well into October, November.
When did you guys get out on the road this year then?
Oh.
You were out there in February?
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on. There was a lot of people out there. As soon as it got warm out, even in February, they were out there on their motorcycles.
As soon as the driveway was cleared with ice, then I took it out and went around the block a couple times. And now it's been a little too cold. So,
What do you ride, Kathy? What's your bike? Or Kathy's over here on the left. What do you ride?
I have a Harley-Davidson Dyna Wide Glide. And yes, I was out early in February.
See, I knew it.
Because I called our bike shop and said, I need a new rear tire. Mm-hmm. Can you get me in? And he said, yep. So I rode out.
There you go.
Got the tire and rode home the same day.
Yeah, we saw some bikes out this winter. And Penny, what do you ride? I know people are wondering, like if I don't ask, there's going to be people out there wondering.
I have a Harley-Davidson Softail Deuce.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
But it doesn't matter what type of bike you have. If you're a woman and wants to join a group, they can join Women in the Wind of the Red River Valley.
We have Victories, Triumphs, Yamahas, you name it. If you're on two wheels, come and drive with us.
Some awesome Indians.
Yep.
Nice.
See, I think Alex from our sister station, she has a motorcycle, but I think I've heard through the channels here that she just doesn't have anybody to ride with, so we're going to point her in your direction.
Send her over.
And if I win the bike on one of the raffles that I bought a ticket for, then I'm going to get some training, and then I'm going to join you ladies.
You win a lot of things in those raffles.
No, I never win anything, but watch. It'll be the time I'll win this motorcycle. I'm asking Uncle Crash to teach me how to ride it if I win this motorcycle. Okay.
Well, that's a name.
Uncle Crash. You know Uncle Crash? Well, he got it because of 2 or 3 motorcycle crashes. Yes.
Well, obviously, Bonnie, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Now, you guys are doing a big fundraiser coming up this Saturday. You've got to give us details on it.
So we're having a silent auction and swap meet. It's going to be on Saturday, May 4th from 10 to 4. It's going to be at the American Legion over in Moorhead.
Because that's where we do all fundraisers.
That's right. We finally were allowed to get on the list to get in there. So now we're with the in-group. And so if you aren't familiar with Moorhead, it's by Runnings on East 10. And the proceeds, well, each year we do a silent auction, and the proceeds of this will go to different charities throughout the area. And this year we are supporting the Patriot Assistant Dogs out of Detroit Lakes.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
I would like to say a few words about that outfit.
Please do.
Okay. The people that started this charity, this nonprofit, train dogs for veterans. 75% of the dogs that they train are rescued.
Oh, really?
And the veterans get these dogs at no charge.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And so these are service dogs, kind of the emotional support ones, or maybe do they train them for some other things?
It's a variety.
Okay.
You can go on their website, Patriot Assistance Dogs, and read all about them. It's awesome. In fact, they began their in 2011, but they do not have any outdoor kennels.
Oh.
For their dogs yet.
So you ladies are helping raise money for them for some outdoor kennels.
They do have a capital campaign going on right now where, again, you can go to their Facebook or website and contribute so they can get some outdoor kennels for their dogs.
Now, from what I understood from meeting a gentleman, we happened to be on a trip out to Yellowstone out west a couple of years ago, and he had received a dog. He hadn't been out of his house in like 15 years. He had bad PTSD. But he had told me that that dog that he had, it was multiple years of training. Do you know how long it takes to get these dogs trained before they partner them up? Is it 2 years? Penny? Penny's got two fingers up. Peace back to you, Penny.
I'm just practicing my motorcycle way when I'm going down the highway.
Oh, yeah, you have to know that too, don't you?
But I believe that they do have to go through a program, and it's about 2 years to make sure that the dog and the veteran are a good fit for each other. And just to further educate both of them on how to deal with each other and then to cope with leaving the house and getting more involved in the community again.
Yeah, I've got a friend who is an Army vet, and he, I don't know if it was through that program specifically, but he's got a service animal with him now that he became, you knew that dog, obviously, every time he came around to the football field or whatever, because he was there to help with either, I don't remember if he was still having seizures or something like that, but I mean, a very integral part of his life to obviously help with that veteran and maintain a normal lifestyle.
Right.
So that's a great charity. Then.
It is an awesome charity. We're so happy to be affiliated with them now.
So you've got the swap meet and silent auction. Is there anything else as a part of that fundraiser? Are you taking just donations? Is there food there or anything? Or
we're taking in donations, of course, and we're also going to be having burger baskets served throughout the day, so stop by for lunch. Any money that we make from the sale of those burger baskets will also go to the Patriot Assistant Dogs.
So if I have like a 76 Yamaha and I want a 2012 Goldwing, I can maybe trade it up at the swap meet or what?
I don't think they're swapping motorcycles.
Are you?
Well, you never know because
it's called a swap meet.
It is.
That's true.
You can trade, but there should be some motorcycles there for sale, or people might hang up signs. There's just all kinds of stuff. If you need saddlebags, maybe you need chaps, leather jacket, clothing, gloves,
helmets,
exhaust pipes, you name it. There's all kinds of stuff there.
Is that going to be inside the American Legion?
Yes,
it
is.
The products? Okay, which is good because you just never know if we get rain or something like that.
Exactly. And historically, we've had it where they've had to carry it up the stairs to get set up. This year, walk right in the door, set up, tables will all be there for you.
We will probably have some setups outside, weather permitting. And like Penny said, we will have people that have motorcycles for sale that will have them sitting there. If they can't get the bike there, they can bring a poster or a card and have that available so people can learn that information as well.
Well, so this is the ninth annual motorcycle swap meet. So is it been getting bigger each and every year? I mean, you've had more attendees or more funds raised? I mean, any kind of ballpark on
that? Yes, Penny, right? It tends to grow a little bit every year. Yeah. The word gets out.
It does, and a lot of it, you know, depends on the organization that we are supporting that year. We've helped with Elks Camp Grassic, Hero, CHI, Rape and Abuse, Farm in the Dell, you know, to name a few. And so much just depends on the weather, of course. If people are out riding, they're less likely to stop by. But I think this weekend, the weather isn't supposed to be too great.
Well, and things are always happening at the Moorhead American Legion, so stop in, and it's always fun and visit with people and help support a great cause. I mean, I think that's awesome. It's a local, regional agency that you guys are, nonprofit that you guys are helping support, and kick some money in the can. Just bring some cash with you. Are you guys taking checks and stuff like that too, or mainly cash donations?
All kinds of donations.
Yeah,
whatever.
Bring your debit
cash
card.
Cash is always good.
Well, there's a cash machine inside the Moorhead American Legion. I know exactly where it is if you need it. They probably have more than one, but I know where the one is for sure.
We appreciate all the donations, of course.
Oh, absolutely. So this Saturday, Moorhead American Legion from 10 to 4. And if somebody wants to learn more about Women in the Wind in the Red River Valley, stop in. You ladies will be there and, yep, and ask questions.
Facebook?
Yeah.
As well?
Mm-hmm. I found you on Facebook. I brought it up, and they're like, where's that picture from? They don't even know. They're all over Facebook. Well, good luck to you. Okay. We hope you raise a lot of money and stay safe as you continue to ride the wind. Is that what they say? Something like that?
Knees in the breeze.
Knees in the breeze.
Or like my husband says, the windy women.
The windy women. And it has nothing to do with how much you ladies talk, does it?
Exactly.
No hot air intended.
No. Thanks, ladies.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah. Go check it out. Throw them some money. Raising money this Saturday at the Moorhead American Legion from 10 to 4. Sounds like a wonderful time. It is 8:22. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Coming up in a little bit here, we're going to be checking in with the Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie, and we're going to be finding out what they have planned on today's show. Right now, we're going to head to the American Ag Network, 826. And as we were visiting with the ladies from Women in the Wind of the Red River Valley, they help out different nonprofits throughout our region. Sue Barron, Golden Drive Homeless Kids, says please thank them for their great support, making a huge and positive difference. And yeah, go support them and help out the Detroit Lakes nonprofit that trains service animals. It's at the Moorhead American Legion coming up this Saturday from 10 to 4. They also have a meat raffle. Meat raffle silent auction.
Everybody loves a good meat raffle.
Absolutely. Check it out. 826 Coffee Club. Janae and Ronnie. One of them is on time. The other one's tardy as usual. Good morning, Janae. Ronnie.
I am not the tardy one.
No, but Janae's always on time. Ronnie just can't stop doing what he's doing with his computer or something. Know, or he doesn't want to be around us as long as
it's 8:03 in the morning and I'm looking, where's my co-host? Where's my co-host?
But he comes in with a smile on his face
every day.
Both you boys do. We're proud of you. You bring your smiles every day.
I am going to talk about something right now that I heard you guys chatting about on your show this morning.
And you're bringing us May Day baskets?
No, I'm not. Oh. I think that this time, because we always bring the treats, Bonnie, I think the guys should bring us May Day baskets tomorrow. Heads up, I'm not doing May Day baskets.
I was going to say, I thought that sounded like an after-school special.
Yeah,
all
that
of
was
a sudden,
for like kids and grandkids.
We grew up like on the edge of town, and we didn't have any neighbors except for the Olsons across the swamp. So I didn't even know what that was when my kids were little. All of a sudden, the doorbell starts ringing, and there's nobody there, and I'm finding candy in our steps, and I had no idea what a May Day basket was.
Was there a blonde pigtailed lady named Nellie Olson?
You didn't do them in school?
No.
Oh, we did them in school.
Mm-mm. Ronnie, you grew up rural. Did you know what a May Day basket?
Yeah, we did May Day baskets in school. Cool, yeah.
Not to our, I mean, our neighbors were few and far between.
Right, you didn't have neighbors either.
But
so
we did it in school.
Oh, I don't remember doing it in school, but it was longer ago when I was in school than you guys, a little bit.
On the farm, our closest neighbor was like a mile and a half away.
Right. That's why I said the Olsons across the swamp, which was about a half mile across
Bonnie,
a hayfield.
What year did you graduate again?
Same year as you, Janae.
No, that's a lie.
84. Class of 84. Same as Jay Thomas. And I think Tom Tucker beat us with 83.
There you go.
But Janae's not as young as she thinks she is. That's okay.
You guys give me crap about that, but I am younger than y'all.
That's okay. It
doesn't take much.
Age is just a number.
That is true. Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys want to hear what we got going on today?
Yeah. What are you guys doing?
Let me get out my sheet so I can remember. Oh, we're going to talk about TV shows from the 70s that would never be airing today.
Three's Company.
I love Three's Company.
The Jeffersons, maybe. Yeah,
we'll see what's on that list. Mm-hmm. Nonprofit Day, thanks to Luther Family Ford. This morning, we're talking to Legacy Skydiving Foundation.
Oh.
Megan's going to be in.
You better listen, Jace. You're the one that you and Dean want to skydive. I think Dean is hooked up during the air show to go skydiving.
I was to go skydiving in the spring, but
I just got to go talk to my next door neighbor, honestly. I mean,
long
he lives
as,
right there.
Long as they got the parachute that's designed to, release an M1 tank, I'm fine.
They would stop an M1 tank. But if it releases an M1 tank out of that chute, you'd get down to Earth faster.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear more about it.
I was supposed to go this spring, and then I laid in bed one night and thought about it, and I actually couldn't move. So,
well, you don't really have to move when you're falling out of an airplane.
Yeah. When I was younger,
and you don't go alone. You know, it's tandem, so right. You're not doing.
Yeah.
It
when I was younger, I probably would have done it, but yeah, no.
Well, now you got nothing to live for. It's all over. It's all downhill.
Could have went up with the Blue Angels.
She has a grandchild that she wants.
I know. I could have went up with the Blue Angels this summer, but it's like, yeah, no. With my anxiety, that's not happening.
I thought it was more about you being nauseous in the cockpit.
I do. I've got anxiety and I've got severe motion sickness, and you wouldn't want me up there with you.
How are you doing back there, buddy?
No, and then that would get knocked out.
Well, listen, I mean, those guys love cleaning barf out of their oxygen masks.
Yeah.
So that's an easy process as well.
That was a hard pass on my part. All right. You guys playing a game today? No, I don't see any games in the
Tuesday. Tuesday, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of you. I have to keep track of me, him, and James.
Jason knows our schedule.
It's every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm, got it.
Pretty easy.
Sometimes we don't do it on Wednesdays anymore, though. We get a little busy.
Well, stay tuned for the coffee club. Jace, let's get out of here.
You betcha.
Bye-bye.
Bonnie and friends, we'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.